podcast with Craig Lupinski here, blah, blah, blah.
And that's our intro. This is episode 70, folks.
Are you recording?
Yes. We have Seth Castellum.
Awesome.
The forever alone smartass.
Well, okay, whatever. I'll take it.
And we have Chris Dunn.
Hey, happy to be here, Craig.
I'm happy to have you.
Asshole, you just make me sound even worse.
I'm happy to have a buffer between me and this jackass.
I just gotta do it. It's a dirty job, but...
I'm a total troll, and someone calls me out on it. This is terrible.
I'm not a troll. I don't troll.
What's troll in Spanish? Troll. That's what you are.
I'm not... Oh, no.
Trollo.
El Trollo.
El Trollo.
So it's been an uneventful week for me. Honey, it's been an uneventful week, right? I didn't do anything.
No. Yeah. I don't know why you're calling me honey, but... Yeah.
Honey is the new cupcake.
I worked... A honey-flavored cupcake.
Wait a minute.
That sounds gross.
Craig, you worked?
I know
he went to work.
That is crazy. I can't even believe. As far as I know, you don't even have a job, Craig.
I know.
Yeah, you have all this free time.
Yes, it's strange.
That's just crazy. What has Chris been up to? He's been gone for...
Yeah.
At least a few days.
Yeah, I was on the podcast a couple days ago, but you guys weren't there, so.
It was just him talking in the bathroom by himself.
I was talking into this microphone, but nobody was recording, so.
Dude,
nobody gets to hear it.
That's a marshmallow on a stick. So you got married?
Yeah. I got married, yeah.
Yeah, that did happen.
Yeah, it has been a pretty eventful couple weeks for me. I got married about, 3 weeks ago now? Somewhat, I don't know.
Time just flies after you're hitched.
Yeah, I got married and I spent, a week and a half or 2 weeks in Disney World, and that was pretty great. And I got drunk and you guys made fun of me on the podcast.
He had, two Coronas. I'm so gone, guys.
To be fair, we made fun of you off the podcast, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We did do that, too.
That makes me feel much better.
Yeah, we saved the worst stuff for, not recording. So, we thought of you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sure he has a great time.
I guess I appreciate that. I don't know.
You had Disney mascots at your, wedding ceremony. Or at least the pictures afterwards.
Yeah, they were at the, they came to the reception. Mickey and Pluto.
Kind of awesome.
That is pretty cool. Awesome.
I mean, it's not like the real Pluto, but my understanding is he works for the real Pluto.
I think he's friends with the real Pluto.
Something like that. But no, that's cool. Congratulations on being married.
Yeah, I am happy.
Greg, when are you going to tie the knot?
I fucking hate you. That question, when you having kids, because I based my entire life on, being a Leave It to Beaver episode. Don't give a fuck.
Yeah, dude. Gotta have that nuclear family.
I don't, kids, nah, I can pass on that.
Yeah, I don't want kids either.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm getting that a lot now that I'm married. People are like, when are you gonna have kids?
Oh, because people are so fucking boring, and they base your life on their own boring, arbitrary lives. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, you know how much your kids suck? I saw them and didn't want to have them.
I had I was working at the toy vault yesterday, and I had an old friend come in, and...
Wait. You were working? You work? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
You've been here already.
He's a nice guy and everything. He has, he got married, and he has the kid, and he's doing all that, normal stuff. And he does this, and, I like the guy. He's an awesome guy, but he asks the same questions, and it's just like... I've been together with Dana longer than you've been with your wife, and it just, we're not married yet. I can't, if we're not married by now, there's probably not really an answer to that question. I don't know why it's asked.
Yeah.
Nobody asks, it's just so weird. People are like, have you taken up new hobbies? Have you learned a new language? Have you gone anywhere interesting? That's not what people ask. To me, that's what life's about. Life's not about this... generic nuclear family stuff. That's great if that's what you want. Pursue it. Awesome. But, it's just so weird that people always ask you, are you being stupid and boring like everyone else? And instead of like, are you doing anything cool that makes you different from everyone else? There's none of that. People
from what
that.
I hear, from what I understand, this planet is dangerously underpopulated. You need to have as many kids as possible.
What do you
there
think,
will
honey?
Be no future human race.
you want the human race should depend on us. That's it. We're done with the podcast. See you guys. We got work to do. Okay, well, that's it. Seth, what about you? Anything interesting?
I got, like, Jet Grind Radio to have pictures in it.
I saw that. You spray-painted a tweet.
I spray-painted a tweet, and I had a typo in it, so it didn't work out as much as I had hoped.
It's a shame it doesn't, like, work with, like, the Dream Eye, so you can't, like, spray-paint, like, your face. I mean, you could probably do, like, you take a picture of your face, upload it online, and do that, but, I mean, it's a shame it doesn't, you know, it's not compatible with, like, the Dream Eye, but that didn't even come out here anyway.
I don't know what a Dream Eye is. I'm going to assume it's like the...
It's a camera peripheral for the Dreamcast, but it didn't come out here. It's pretty neat, actually. It's a port. It's actually... I mean, it's sort of webcam-ish, so, like, it's got, like, a stand. You can go on top of your TV, and you can do, like, video conferencing and stuff with it.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now,
but it's also portable.
This.
You can take it off the stand and snap pictures and bring them back to your Dreamcast.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat. I have one. It's not very useful now. anyway, news, video game news.
News!
Let's see here. We're getting Ace Attorney 1 through 3 on iOS. I don't know about us.
In quote-unquote HD or something.
It's probably just a higher resolution. HD is such a buzzword, but it's just a higher resolution than, I'm sure, the DS games were. Nice crisp art. But that's pretty neat. I mean, no word on whether that's coming here or not, but... I know, it'd be stupid not to, I think.
And they're already translated.
Yeah. Right, so, exactly.
I think the first one came out over here on iOS.
Yeah.
So if they're going to re-release all three on iOS, then maybe they will.
Okay.
I hope so.
That's cool. We'll be good. I mean, I have no interest, but it'll be good for those who are interested. Ace Attorney 5 was announced. Again, for, you know, nothing outside of Japan, necessarily, but the game
and
will
not,
exist.
Not really much of anything was announced.
Right, yeah.
It was like, we're making Ace Attorney 5.
It's just kind of like Pikmin 3. Yeah, we're working on that. See ya.
Yeah, but I mean, at least we know that's either... Well, we know it's coming to Wii U now, I think. I don't know. See, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Ace Attorney 5?
I don't even think the platform is set in
Pikmin.
Place.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, there's no platform for Ace Attorney 5, so... I was, like, reading, like, Google translated Japanese websites trying to figure out what the hell was being said in these things.
Yeah, it just gets all broken when that happens.
Yeah, it's like, and then they kept using some weird ass, like, bull running turnaround. I don't know. It was.
Oh.
The games don't translate well into English from their original Japanese names.
Yeah, they're turnabout something.
Yeah, but, like, it kept using the word Dragon Bull or something. I don't know. Dragon Bull turnabout.
Oh.
That's weird. I want to play that game, though. Dragon Ball Turnabout?
Yeah, anyway. So those are things. And then, let's see, what else we got here? Iwata has talked about Nintendo Network. Mario Kart 7 already, like, sort of alluded to this, like, when you go online, it says connecting to Nintendo Network. And it's a much better name. I don't even know why. The Nintendo Wi-Fi Connection, like, that was such a dumb name. They should have just gone with this alliteration from the beginning with Nintendo Network. But that's the official name. I mean, I guess that's basically what the Wi-Fi connection thing is becoming. Just a name for it. But it's going... Iwata said that they are in place in the back end. They already have, like, the infrastructure ready for things like DLC, which is coming, I guess. Theater Rhythm, Final Fantasy will have it. And Fire Emblem for 3DS will also have DLC. But there's also possibility of downloadable retail games. Apparently... I guess Iwata's concern is, like, making sure that people have, like, the right, like, SD card size or something like that, so.
Yeah, and they don't want to piss off retailers, too.
Right, I guess that's always a concern. I mean, it's cool that the infrastructure's there, and they're just trying to figure out the specifics. What else? Community features, kind of like Mario Kart 7. I would like to see those expanded upon. More community features in games, because that's actually, you know, worked out really well for Mario Kart 7, so I like to see more of that. And they've also talked about having, like, accounts on, like, the Wii U. Rather than have things, like, tied to a specific console, they have things tied to account. And this stuff is just so mind-numbingly simple. I don't know why they don't get it.
They got it now.
Well, kind of. See, here's the thing. I said this on Facebook, but we need to have a Nintendo cycle. It's like the Sonic cycle, where you get really excited for shit that they do online, and then you get disappointed because it's, like, way worse than you could have possibly imagined.
And then, but people go, well, it's still a little better than last time, and then it repeats.
I mean, I gotta give the 3DS credit. The 3DS is, like, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I mean, I would like to have an account. That's probably, and maybe a slightly better UI for the friends list. But other than those things, I'm pretty happy with the 3DS's online capabilities, with the shop and, you know, Swapnote and all that. I think that's actually pretty good.
It needs a notification when somebody wants to add you as a friend, too.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't do that. That's kind of silly. It's really not that bad. I don't think it's that bad, but especially considering you only have to do it once.
Worse is, like, when you get some lazy ass, though, who, like, doesn't add you forever because he doesn't want to type
code. Oh, yeah,
and you
have the provisionally added friend, and you're like, oh, come on, you fucking silhouette.
Yeah.
But at least when you do, at least it's instantaneous, not like it was on the Wii and the DS where you'd add each other and then it would take, you know, hours before they finally showed up on your list.
It's pretty quick. I mean, what I'd like to see more of, though, is, like, when you see someone playing Mario Kart, like, it'll tell you what they're doing, like, currently joinable or, like, what their VR or whatever the fuck that is. They'll tell you the points. Like, kind of like what Xbox Live does, like, you know, currently in matchmaking or whatever it is. Like, I'm a voyeur. Like, I like spying on people and see what they're doing. That's sort of, like, part of the social networking features of these online services. And I'm always checking that. I'm always kind of disappointed that, like, PSN doesn't do that. They're kind of, like... Like, it won't even say what they're doing. Like, if they're not doing something that has the capability to say what you do, like, PSN won't even tell you. They're online. Like, so really, there's some nether world? Like, what are they doing? Tell me, goddammit. But I can't explain why I like that. But I love that, and I want to see more of that.
I totally agree.
I would like to be able to see, like, activity logs, too. I mean, maybe you can opt in or out for privacy.
That would be
reasons,
great.
But I would love to just spy on what other games people have played and are playing.
Comparing playtimes, like the way you could compare achievements and trophies, that would be cool.
Right, yeah. You wouldn't even have to do achievements. Yeah, you could just see, like, oh, wow, this is... And then you get the little crowns. You have the crowns in the activity log, so you can see what game they played the most. And it's really basic. Yeah. I would like to see that, you know?
Stuff is really cool, but it'd be even cooler if you could share it with your friends.
Absolutely. I think the social stuff is really way more important than the multimedia stuff or even... dare I say, the 3D stuff, you know, the namesake for, like, the system, you know? I think that's, you know, that's where the focus should be are the social... I mean, because the games in general, even before things like social networking websites, I mean, people play games socially. You traded games on the playground, you played Mario Kart together. Games have always been social things, I think. So just taking that to the, you know, to the next level of modern technology is just logical.
But. Of course, I did have somebody, like, message me and ask why the hell I was playing NES Open Tournament Golf, so maybe I don't want people seeing what games I'm playing.
Yeah, people are like, you're playing Mutant Muds? I'm like, that's right, motherfuckers, I am.
Yeah, you fucking had to, like, send out a swap note to everybody, like, ha-ha, guess what, fuckers, I'm playing Mutant Muds. And this was, like, a week before it came out.
I was all like, you mad?
Yeah, this asshole.
No, it was funny. I laughed.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
And it was like the stationery with, like, the confetti and everything. It was such a troll message. And I'm a jackass, what can I say? Speaking of trolling and jackassery, Pac-Man and Mega Man are in Street Fighter Cross Tekken. So is Cole from Infamous and the Sony, like, mascot cats, whatever the fuck those are.
Yeah.
And Pac-Man is just goofy as fuck. And he's got that, I don't know, like a mech or something. That's pretty neat. But Mega Man, holy shit, so awesome. It's bad Mega Man box art from, like, Mega Man 1. Fat guy with, like, a gun and, like, a blue and yellow jumpsuit. I love it.
The little ridge, the ridge on his helmet is even, like, off-center like it is on the box art.
I love it. I think it's such an awesome idea. It's almost like if you got Smash Brothers and you got, like, Link from the fucking cartoon.
Oh, God.
Excuse me! Oh, man, Nintendo would never do that, but Capcom's like, whatever the fuck. And I love it.
And I wouldn't expect any less from Yoshinori Ono, because he just likes to fuck with his fans so much.
But apparently Inafune was in on it too. Like, this has been going on for a while. But I mean, now I'm actually interested in a game I was not previously interested in. And that's what it took. It was a little tongue in cheek.
I've seen somebody point out that they wonder if it was originally like a swap of character ideas, because if you remember the first Mega Man Universe trailer, Ryu from Street Fighter was in that.
Yeah, that's true. Could have been, yeah. That's a good point. But this totally makes me interested in this game. And, oh man, I just want to collect the tears of all the Mega Man fans in like a chalice and then drink it. Because, listen, I know there are Mega Man fans listening to this, and this isn't personal, but y'all are whiny bitches. Because I can't take Mega Man fans. Listen, you guys got, like, so many Mega Man games this past generation. 9, 10, ZX, ZX Advent, Zero Collection, Powered Up, Maverick Hunter X, Star Force games, although I don't think too many people like those. If you're into importing, like, there was an enhanced port of Battle Network on the DS, and Mega Man Legends 1 and 2 were on the PSP. There was a fuck ton of Mega Man. You had Zero in MVC3, and then in Ultimate you had the X skin, and then in TVC you had Volnutz and Roll were both in there, right?
Yes.
That's a shit ton of Mega Man. And then you're like, boo, I don't have Legends 3, this is what I wanted.
Craig, I wanted Legends 3.
I wanted Legends 3.
But this is hilarious. I don't really care.
And it has nothing to do with, one doesn't have anything to do with the other. Like, I love how people are trying to tie this to, like, Legends 3. Like, it's just not fair. They keep making us mad. Yeah, after they unleashed an avalanche of Mega Man games, they're just doing it to make you mad. Just ruin your day. You personally.
Actually, they might be, like, being a little bit of dicks on the Street Fighter Cross Tekken official site. Like, the profile for bad box art Mega Man is Mega Man Legends, like, profile. About, like, him being a digger and searching for jewels with his partner Roll and all this stuff. So...
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty funny.
But listen, Mega Man... Now, I didn't play... You played 9 and 10, right, Seth?
Yes.
Were they good?
9's really good. 10, I don't really like.
Okay. Now, I played ZX and ZX Advent, and I really enjoyed those. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's three really good original games in a generation. Most franchises don't get that.
Plus, Mega Man was not in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I know, that just ruined everything.
It ruined... Mega Man Universe was canceled, even though it looked kind of boring.
I'm sorry, I hate to go off on this super huge tangent, like, disparaging people, but, like, perspective, folks. Ton of Mega Man games. Some of them were even really good. And they were original. And I don't think you have any room to complain. You have room to be disappointed, don't get me wrong. I'm disappointed, too, but... Man, this is... I don't even... Yeah, that's...
It's funny. Who cares? It's funny.
Oh, man. Just watching the reactions, though, just... I'm laughing. That's what I'm laughing at.
No, not me, because I'm not a dick.
I'm kind of a dick.
Yeah, you are.
Sometimes. Yeah. Not always. Not always.
But mostly to me. Mostly to me.
I think I just have... Because you instigate.
I do. I'm sorry.
You kind of deserve it sometimes.
He's like, yeah, I'll shut up now. Yeah. We got Rising Star Games, which is a publisher in Europe. They're sort of like Atlus and Exceed and Natsume and Ignition, like all rolled into one for Europe. And they localize and publish niche Japanese games for that market. And they have opened an American office. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah. Well, the first game they bring over is a cave shooter, so...
Oh, yes. What was that? It's Katana or something like that in the name, right?
Akai Katana.
Akai Katana, yep, that's it. Okay. And they're also doing... They also have opened, like, a digital branch or something like that, too, right? Yep.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, that's pretty exciting.
Good to see you read the news on the site, Greg.
I do, but in between, like, working, like, 60 hours a week, I try.
Wait.
You work?
Moving on, Major Nelson has detailed the Xbox Live Arcade's like House Party campaign, and this is a dumb. Where do they come up with these names?
I don't. Why is it a house party?
I was wondering the same thing myself. Like,
it'd be like invite a bunch of friends over and be like, let's play some Alan Wake, dudes.
Are you guys Ninja Turtles? Are your friends like mutants?
Take a shot every time his battery runs out.
every time you see a Verizon ad, take a shot. we got Warp coming on February 15th for 800 points. Alan Wake's American Nightmare on the 22nd for 1,200 points. I don't know how to pronounce this game's name. Nexuiz? I don't know. But it's got a dumb name, and it comes out on the 29th for 800 points. And I Am Alive comes out on March 7th for 1,200 points. So I'm definitely interested in Alan Wake and I Am Alive, if nothing else.
Craig, huh. What happens if you buy all four of those games?
Oh, you guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
Microsoft would give you 800 points.
My body. Oh, my God. Oh my
Whoa.
God.
That's like getting one of those games for free.
What? One of the ones?
One of the ones you don't want. I don't know. Maybe someone wants those games. Not me, but I'm sure someone does. But no, I mean, this is, you know, I like these campaigns, you know. I would like it better if there were actually four games I was interested in. But if you're interested in all four of those games, you plan on getting them, then getting 800 points for free is a pretty sweet deal.
Yep.
So, but I'm interested in at least two.
That is equivalent to 10 U.S. dollars.
10 U.S. dollars, yeah.
Not
in crazy Microsoft math.
They're working it out. Give them some time. Give them some time. I think that's all we have for news. And we can talk about this week's topic, which is our favorite games of 2011. It's a pretty big topic.
I thought it was our favorite names of 2011. I like made a huge list of my favorite names.
Blue Ivy.
Blue Ivy, what?
Isn't that like was it Jay-Z's kid or something?
I don't know.
How do you know this, Craig? You are weird.
I'll take your word for it.
I try not to pay attention to Jay-Z or anything he does, so.
Yeah, I think like Beyonce and Jay-Z. Beyonce, that's their mashup name is Beyonce. That's what we're going to call him from now on. I think that's their daughter's name. Whatever.
Jay-Z's daughter, Blue Ivy.
It's so weird how like celebrities can get away with that. Like Gwyneth Paltrow's kid is named Apple.
Yeah.
But if I were to name my kid Blue Ivy, like, you're a dumb motherfucker.
wait, you're having a kid?
I knew it!
Your friends must be so excited.
I think they can stop asking. It's not happening. No dice. Let's talk about our favorite games. Now, we have the article up on the site, and I encourage people to go check it out, because we worked very hard on it, and...
I did, and I half-assed it.
Yeah. I think we all worked hard on it. We did a change last minute, which made even more work for us, but I think you guys came through. You guys did good work. I appreciate it. So I encourage everyone to go to the site and check it out. We don't do, like, top X number of games. We just make one big, massive alphabetical list of games that we enjoy, because then we get to talk about everything. This way there's nothing. This way we don't have to, like, struggle to fit something in. I think it's better that way, and people reading it can... perhaps find out about games they missed out on or haven't heard of or something like that. It's beneficial for everyone, I think. So, and then I'm just going to read these off, and we're just going to say what we have to say about them. Alice, Madness Returns. Did either of you guys play that?
Nope.
Yeah, it's okay. The funny thing is it's just okay, but I still really liked it, so that's why it's on the list.
I still really want to buy it. It's probably like $5 by now, right?
I can't imagine it's very much, because I don't think it did well critically, and I don't think the interest was there, so I don't know. I liked it. I don't know why I liked it. Because, I mean, it's all there. Like, there's platforming and maybe a little bit of exploration and some combat. Like, you have, you know, button mashy, like, melee combat, and you do have, like, guns. You have, like, this, I don't know, like, pepper cannon, like this pepper grinder, and you shoot it at pig noses, you know.
It's like... Just their noses?
Yeah, they're just their noses are like flying around. Yeah, pig snouts, yeah.
I know why you didn't like it.
Why?
Alice is not scantily clad enough.
I'm comfortable with this. let's see here. We have Antipole, which came out on DSiWare and Xbox Live indie games. And did either of you play this?
Like, no. Maybe
this
could
be the entire list. You guys played like five games.
I played Antipole.
Yes.
It's cool.
And it is cool. It's I mean, it's comparable to
Spikes.
Spikes. V to the sixth power. In that, you know, you don't have a jump button. You just kind of you alter gravity. But in V, you know, it's almost like a toggle switch. Like you hit it and then you go up, and then you hit it again and you come back down. In Antipole, you hold it down, and as long as you're holding it down, you have reverse gravity, and you have like a meter, so you can stay on the ceiling until that meter depletes, and it recharges when you're standing on the ground upright. So you can sort of like float through the air by like kind of tapping the button. And that's required in some levels.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool game.
Yeah, really interesting concept.
ATV Wild Ride from our friends at Renegade Kid. I think might be the only one who played this one, too.
Now they're our friends because they give you mutant muds a week early.
No.
Yeah, even when you get to a game that I wrote a blurb about, I'm going to say I didn't play it.
Anyway, I like the ATV Wild Ride. It seems kind of generic, like the box art is generic, the name is generic, but like the game's fun. Like it's a really solid like action racer and really good sense of speed, really good graphics on the DS. Renegade Kid is really good at that. Bastion. Just me again? Zach?
I have played a little bit of it. I haven't beaten it or anything, but
oh, okay. I love
it. I really like it though.
Yeah. It's a great art, great music. And, I mean, overall, like, the gameplay itself isn't, like, groundbreaking, but it's just really well made, and it goes really well with the presentation. Not something I say often where I think the presentation really elevates a game above and beyond, but, like, you know, the active narration is just really, really cool. It's really well done.
Definitely.
Batman Arkham City. Not a game I played, so I'll sit this one out.
Oh, so nobody played it? Oh, that's...
Yeah, right.
Spider-Man, Arkham City.
What? I didn't play that one. What the hell's wrong with me?
Anybody call for a web-slinger?
Oh, God. Oh, God. No, Batman Arkham City is really good. I mean, I think I prefer Arkham Asylum's more, like, linear, kind of, like, Metroid-y idea. But I like that they changed it up. And I think, I mean, if any character deserves, like, an open-world type game, it's Batman. And I think it was really, really well done.
Nah, Ninja Turtles, man.
What?
I said, nah, man, Ninja Turtles.
I hate Paul Gale Network for doing that rumor.
Wait, who did what?
Paul Gale Network for doing that whole...
I don't even know who that is.
That's who started that Ninja Turtles Rocksteady rumor,
is that a
right?
Person?
It's like a website, but I'm assuming it's named after a person.
I've never heard of this website, but I did hear about the rumor, yeah, that Rocksteady...
Oh, it was this person who started the whole thing.
Completely fake?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I figured it was fake, but that would be awesome.
Guys, we're going to have to end the podcast.
Seems pretty fake. Like, it's like 99.9% sure it's fake.
Okay, that's fine. I wasn't really betting on it anyway. But.
Yeah. But yeah, Arkham City's awesome.
Dick Storm.
Bullet Storm.
I love Bullet Storm. It was much more... typical than I thought it would be. Like, it is pretty linear, and there are a lot of cutscenes and scripted events and things that, you know, I'm not super into in my action games. But, you know, just the whole skill shot system just, you know, gave new life to running to the next cutscene. You know, the fact that I could slam people into spikes or electrocute them or kick them into shit. Awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun. I like it. And I also like that they made, like, sniping really damn fun in this game by being able to control the bullets in your sniper rifles.
Yeah.
Chase down enemies as they're running away from the bullet with the bullet. It's good stuff.
Yeah, because really cool. Enemies actually run. Like, they're like, oh, crap. And then you see them, like, dodging, like, running away. But it's good stuff.
But plus, like, you get to hear the word dick at least, I don't know, 3,000 times while playing the game. So
there's
I
a lot
think
of dicks in this game. That.
Yeah, where people could just talk to you, Seth.
Nice. What? I'll draw them pictures, too.
Catherine. Catherine I felt okay about. I have to be honest, I wasn't, like, super into Catherine. I think I was at first, but then I was like, okay, well, this is all right. I don't really have anything against it, but it's not really lighting my fire, so to speak.
No, I liked it a lot. The block climbing gets really hard, though.
Edge.
Really hard.
Edge. Shut up!
Like, Gata, like, it seems like a really simple concept, but...
Well, they kept expanding on it. Like, each time, like, you're comfortable with it, you're like, okay, I think I got... I died, like, 87 times, but I think I got this. And then they throw something else at you, and you're like, son of a bitch.
And I don't know. I really like the story and stuff in it, so I think it's good.
I still need to play this.
Do you have it?
No, I played the demo. The demo's really cool, but I haven't picked it up yet.
Gotcha.
You should buy it.
I will.
Get around to it.
If I can find it when I get around to it. This is Atlas, after all.
You get to walk around in a bar and talk to people, like, in between levels. That's fun, right?
Yeah, you get to do that.
Shut up, Craig.
That sounds so fun.
Cave Story 3D. Am I the only one who played this?
Probably.
I have played Cave Story on WiiWare and DSiWare and PC.
Well, it's basically that. So, I think we can all pitch in and say the Cave Story is awesome. This one, I don't know. I think the visuals are nice, and I prefer to play it. Like, they have an option to switch all the character sprites to, like, sort of like Paper Mario-esque, you know, visuals where you have, like, where it looks like all the characters look like from the downloadable games. Because if you don't do that, all the characters look kind of bland. They kind of, like, blend in, I think. But having, like, the new updated polygonal 3D visuals combined with this sort of sprite-looking character models, that looks pretty good.
It actually does look good?
Yes, I think so. Cool. But it's nice that this is the physical this is the only physical version of Cave Story. You know, you can have it forever now. So that's pretty cool. Deus Ex Human Revolution, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
I heard you did not like it at all.
I hated Human Revolution.
Yeah.
I always find it funny because, like, you know, a lot of, like, Deus Ex fans, like, they don't like Deus Ex 2. They don't like Invisible War. And it's always, like, I never really get a straight answer about that. Like, it's always, like, stupid shit, like, the bullets are combined. And, because in the second game, there's no separate ammunition for guns. It all comes from one pool of nanites that form whatever ammunition you need. So, like, you can shoot rockets to your heart's content, but then that's going to deplete your ability to fire your handgun. So, So it's sort of like, it's zero sum, and I find it neither better nor worse than having separate ammunition. It's just something else to balance. It's just a bit different. You know, what I find interesting is, like, everyone's, like, with Human Revolution, it's like, oh my god, it's Return to Form! And it's like, no one seems to notice that Human Revolution actually removed a huge component of the first and second game, and that's factions. There are no factions in Human Revolution. Apparently, what? You give people separate ammunition, and they're happy, but you remove a major, like, narrative component, and they don't even notice. People are weird.
But yeah. I didn't like the first game.
You know, I liked it, but I actually preferred the second game over the first one. That has not won me any friends.
Has it lost you any friends?
I don't think so.
It's neutral in the friend zone.
Yeah, yeah. Hasn't done me any favors. Let's put it that way. Human Revolution's really good. Dodonpachi Resurrection, which I imported for $23, which is awesome. And I love it. It's an awesome game. Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2. Anyone play this? Me?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry?
You have the publisher wrong, dude. Nintendo totally published it.
Oh, that's right. They did. I'll change that. I enjoy the Joker Dragon Quest Monsters series. It's usually really well done, but it's a bit different from Pokemon. Like, it's similar. Like, there are obviously influences, but, like, your monsters are just weapons. They're just things to use and discard. They're not... You can't even collect them all. That's not even a point. Like, you don't even have enough space to have one of every monster in the game.
Hmm.
So you capture them. You capture them by impressing them. You scout. So you tell your monsters, like, impress that monster over there. And then you have, like, a success or failure rate. And then that monster's like, oh, you guys are real badasses. And then he joins you. Or maybe he doesn't and gets really angry.
But, like, one of my favorite parts of, like, the Pokemon games is to collect an entire species of, like, animal.
Not important here. Nope. You just get them, and then you breed them, and you go, look, sorry, dude, you're not cool anymore. Bye. And then that's it.
I want to own every mammal in the world.
Nope. But this has really good environments and, like, really, like, I mean, like, early in the game, like, because I don't really want to give anything away, but early in the game, there's this giant, like, worm that, like, crawls through, like, the environment, and, like, it'll, like, you know, hurt you if you're stuck in its path. But they're just neat things like that, so it's really well done.
Do you get to befriend the worm?
No, that doesn't happen. You fight the worm.
You get to kill the worm.
Forget what I did to him. I think I killed him. I think that happened.
Yeah, how do you forget, like, I just threw some rocks at him, and I don't know. He was either dead or passed out.
I just sort of walked away. I said, I'm done with this. I was the bigger man.
I heard sirens. I just ran.
Dragon Quest VI, which Seth seemed to really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, it starts off really good. First 10 hours are really good, and then after that just turns, like, decent-ish, but it's still fun.
Mine's still sealed.
What?
I said mine's still sealed.
Just open it. Open it. You'll enjoy, like, it. You'll enjoy it for at least for the first part,
I'll
get
around to it. I don't buy games because I don't intend to play them, so I'll eventually play it, but just a lot of other games to play.
I was just super psyched that, like, this game made it so every mainline Dragon Quest was available in the U.S.
Yeah. And that, it came with a slime plush, which is really cool.
It did come with a slime plush.
Dream Trigger 3D, I know I'm the one who played this one, and it was awesome. Really strange and confusing. Certainly not for everyone, but I really enjoyed it.
I bought it for what it's worth.
Well, apparently it's only worth $8, so... Fishing Resort, really a strange one from Exeed. I was really confused when they announced this, but made a believer out of me. I really enjoyed that. Just a pleasant game. It's not something you can play. I think you really have to feel. I don't know. You have to be in like a sort of subdued kind of mood to play that because it is sort of slow going. So,
but I need to set aside like a huge chunk of time because I'm going to just want to catch tons of fish in this game.
Yeah, you can do that, I guess.
I'm going to want to fill up that aquarium.
Gears of War 3. Am I the one who played this?
Yes.
Yes.
Now I understand why I'm the one who wrote like half the blurbs.
I told you, I wrote like most of what I could.
I know.
Most of the games I played this year were old, so.
What's that?
Yeah,
most of the games I played this year were old, so yeah. My bad.
So, yeah, it's all good. I love the Gears series. You know, when it comes to, like, shooter games, people are weird. Like, you have people that have, like, their preferences, but they also seem to, like, in addition to their preferences, they seem to love to disparage, like, the other games. Like, oh, you play Halo, it's all about Battlefield, or, you know, oh, I love Gears, well, fuck you and your Call of Duty. And it's just so weird. I hear it a lot. Like, why do you like Gears? Because I do. Because it's fun.
Just everybody looks like a football player.
I don't even... The proportions in this game are bizarre, man. No one has any necks. Like, no wrists or, like, ankles. Like, it's just a stump. Every appendage is a stump coming out of a bigger stump.
They are bred for war. In the future, all wars will be fought by stumps.
Yeah. With chainsaws. I really enjoy it. The multiplayer component is just really big, and the finale was just really well done. Like it ends. Like there's no like, or is it? You know, like it's over, and that's awesome. I love that. You know, for what like what was like 5 or 6 years you've been playing this series, and then you get a pretty much a definitive ending. So that's really cool. I like that. Ghost Recon Shadow Wars, it's a strategy game. At the launch of the 3DS, and really well done. I think one of the overlooked games of the 3DS's launch, but really solid, a lot of fun.
I almost bought this, but I was like, oh, war guys.
Nah, it's really cartoony. Like, it's not like Ghost Recon on the consoles. Like, I mean, it is more real-world war than, say, Advanced Wars is, but it's still pretty comic book in nature.
I don't know.
Okay. Ghost Trick, Phantom Detective. Someone take this away.
Have you still not played this? Come on.
I haven't. When have I had time?
Me neither. I mean, yeah. Didn't Craig played like more games than both of us combined, Chris.
So. Put down my ass about the ones I haven't
played. That's true.
I did buy it. That's step one.
That's step one. I really enjoyed Ghost Trick. You know, the story is all wacky and crazy and, you know, like you expect from, you know, the guy who made Phoenix Wright and stuff. But the gameplay is really good, too. You know, it's not like reading and point and click like Phoenix Wright is. So, I mean, it's difficult to describe without spoiling a lot of it, but it's really good, you know, both in story and in gameplay.
I hear the main character dies. Is this true?
I don't want to spoil anything,
his ass
but...
in the air. I don't know what this is.
Yes, the main character dies. Don't tell anyone.
Okay. Spoilers.
I hope nobody's listening.
I'll bleep that. This is the TVMost podcast. No one is.
Yeah, oh, damn.
Yeah. It starts off a little slow, but, I mean, by the end, it definitely hooks people. So I would definitely say, if it doesn't hook you right away, stick with it, but...
How
I don't know. You probably won't, Craig, because you hate Ace Attorney and anything like this.
I don't hate them. They're just not for me.
They're not for you. I know.
He hates reading, so. How long would you say the game takes to beat, Chris?
I don't know. It came out last January, and it's been a long time since I played it, so I don't know. 15, 20 hours, something like that.
I'm trying to see like when I could schedule this game in.
Sometime in April, I don't know.
Call your secretary.
Go, Coco Polo, Harmonious Forest Revenge. I know I'm the only one who played this. Despite the fact that I told everyone it's super awesome, and you should be playing it too, I know you didn't. But...
It
looks hard.
There are some levels are hard, but I mean, I don't know, I feel like there's room for error, and you can just sort of, you can case the levels before you actually, like... try to finish them, but yeah, it can be hard. Yeah, but it has really clever bosses and nice level design and just great.
Wait, there are bosses in a game where you just run around leading people into like death plants?
Yeah, yep, there are bosses, and it uses, you know, the same mechanics obviously in various ways to, you know, take on these bosses.
Don't get specific or anything.
Well, because it's different.
All right. Normal enemies, you piss them off, and then they chase you, and then like you jump over a plant, and then the plant eats them, right?
Well, yeah, that's how the main levels work. Yeah.
Okay, and then how do the bosses work?
It depends on the boss. The bosses are all different.
I see. But it still involves running around,
yes.
Like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So play it.
I guess. I'll think about
you
it.
You won't.
Yeah.
You know, I'll download it right now, just to piss you off.
No, because then you're going to fuck up the Skype bandwidth.
Will I? There's like 500 internet devices running around.
He's like, I think we're okay.
Yeah. Got that Time Warner Roadrunner shit going
on.
Listen,
we're only on G. We have to move on here.
Okay.
Groove Coaster on iOS, one button rhythm game. I can handle this, and I did. I can't play it on anything above like normal, so. Because it's actually neat because it's actually dynamic. Where like, you know, Guitar Hero is like, okay, you're playing on hard. Well, you make you use the blue or orange one now or whatever. But in Groove Coaster, it actually changes like what kind of things it throws at you to get into like the rhythm. Like sometimes like. When you play on, like, normal versus, say, like, easy, like, the notes you need to hit come flying from the side of the screen, and then when they cross the line, that's when you have to tap. And it has really cool stuff, like, it has, like, ad-lib, where, like, if you're playing it on, like easy, like me, if you can actually get into the beat while you're on easy, and there's no, like, point on the line for that beat, you can still tap the screen, you'll get ad-lib points.
I can just imagine that your made-up beats are like,
tap, I win.
You have no rhythm.
You're dumb. I did not play Hardcore Uprising.
I did play. Oh, dude, do you guys love Contra? Like, I love Contra. No, you should fucking love Contra. It's like Contra on awesome steroids. It's like a faster, jumpier, shootier Contra. It's It's like, yeah, it's badass. You could, like, swing from things
you
while shooting.
You die a lot?
And climb up walls while shooting.
If you
like
Contra, then yes.
There's actually two modes. There's a mode where you actually have hit points, so you don't die, like, one hit. And you could also, like, upgrade your characters and your guns and all that stuff. So you die less and less the more you play because your characters get stronger. And if you really want, there's a downloadable character. One of the downloadable characters is a chick with a samurai sword. She just, like, kills everything in the levels. You can just, like, run through slashing everything and you're good.
Is there, like, an easy mode that cuts out half the levels, like Contra 4?
No, there's nothing that cuts out half the levels.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'll download it.
It's
how much
won't.
Is it?
$1,200? I don't know. I have no idea. I want to say, like, maybe $15.
That sounds $15. Right.
Yeah, so yeah. $1,200. Okay, I can do that. Harvest Moon, Tale of Two Towns. I'm the one who played this, but I like Harvest Moon games. But sometimes, I don't know, they can sort of get away from their core point. Instead of doing what they do well, they just do weird things, and they're not always awesome. But no, I mean, as far as, like, more traditional, like, Harvest Moon games go, this one's pretty good. I like it. Eco and Shadow of Colossus Collection. I did not play this, and not, you know, may not be the best person.
I played the originals. I could just, like, lie and say that I played them in HD.
They're just as good as they were, you know, on the PS2, but now they're in HD. Or just as bad if you hate the controls because you're stupid.
And 3D. Now, actually, I did play a tiny bit of Shadow of the Colossus HD in 3D at my friend's house because he bought a 3D TV and wanted to, like, show it off. So I did play that. I took down the, I think it's the second Colossus, one that's down in that cave that's, like, right behind the castle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I killed him in 3D. The frame rate was awful.
Really?
In 3D.
I haven't played it in 3D.
Yeah.
It's cool in 2D, though. In HD. 2HD.
I'm sure it is.
H2? I don't know.
Jamestown. Legend of the Lost
Highway.
Woo! I didn't play a lot of this because I still haven't gotten, like, a controller up on my PC. But I did not like either the keyboard controls or, like, the mouse controls. I didn't like... The mouse is, like, weird because it's, like, I understand for balance reasons you can't make the character move as fast as you can move your mouse. But, like, it still feels awkward because he's just sort of, like, struggling to get over to where your cursor is. Doop, 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 doop. So I felt kind of disconnected. I really like the game, but I need to have a better controller.
You don't have, like, any wired, like, Xbox controller that you just plug in?
No, I don't. But, I mean, I can probably use, like, my PS3 or, like, my Wii remote or something like that. Through, like, some sort of Bluetooth application.
Yeah, that's too complicated for me. Just plug shit in. But no, it's okay. I feel like it's too hard, like, as far as shmups go. It's beyond my skill level, so I die, like, a lot, but I still manage to beat it. So, it's fun.
Cool.
The challenge modes, there's, like, challenges, too. Those are, like, fucking way too hard for me.
Yeah, I'm not even there.
King of Fighters 13!
Yeah.
I love it. It feels good. It's, like, really fun. If you're, like, not into the super crazy stuff of Marvel vs. Capcom, and you just want, like, it's like slightly faster paced than Street Fighter, is where I'm gonna put it.
Okay.
And it has, like, still has, like, flashy-ass moves. You got the Neo Maxes that are cool-looking. And it's a little hard. Inputs are, like, very strict, so you got to practice a lot.
Does it have, like, weird-ass inputs, like pretzels and stuff?
No, not for normal moves, but there's, like, if you want to do more advanced stuff, like, if you want to link, like, say, Terry's rising tackle into a power geyser, then it gets into, like, some weird-ass inputs.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
What? It's, you know, it's like a figure eight on a control stick or something. But no. And it looks really damn good. It looks really good. Character sprites and the backgrounds are fantastic. Probably actually some of my favorite backgrounds in a fighting game ever. So It's good stuff.
Cool. Kirby Mass Attack, which is awesome. I think this is a really cool. It's really awesome that like you have Kirby Canvas Curse at the beginning of like the DS's life, and at the end you have Kirby Mass Attack, and it just really you know.
And then in the middle games. You have that mouse game that nobody liked.
It's Squeak Scroll is fun.
It's boring. Oh. I'm gonna be honest. It's kind of boring.
I like Superstar Ultra.
I didn't play that. I mean, I played it on Super Nintendo, so.
Is it the same thing? Is it really like all like the same like little games and things?
Pretty sure.
That's cool.
Like I'm pretty sure. Cool.
That's what I assume. That's what people say. I never played it on Super Nintendo.
Oh yeah. Yep. I mean, I'm sure there's like some little extra something. There's got
to
be.
Yeah, my understanding is yeah, because otherwise, yeah, you have to warrant the Ultra, right?
Uh huh.
Because I don't think the Ultra was in the original title, so they have to work for that Ultra. The Core Gang, Outvision from Inner Earth. You know, like, Alice, not this super awesome game. Like, it's not really here based on its quality. It's based on, because I just enjoy it. I enjoy 3D platformers, and we don't really get too many of them like this. In fact, I think this generation probably had more, like, 2D platformers or, you know, 2.5D or side-scrolling platformers than we've had, like, full 3D ones. So, Core Gang's pretty good, so I enjoyed it. The Last Story, I know I'm the only one who played this one, and I love it. And even if it never comes out in the U.S., I really highly recommend at least importing the European version.
No, I'm getting the European version.
I kind of want the special edition. Like, even though I already have, like, the Japanese version, I kind of want the European special edition, because that's really nice. Like, I love steelbooks. I have not seen
that.
It's a steelbook, and I think there's an art book and a soundtrack. And I think it comes to, like, $70.
That sounds worth it.
I'm going to look it up on the game website.
Yeah, no, it does sound worth it, so I'm interested. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D. Ocarina of Time. And
I've never heard of this game.
I know. What
is this? I heard they broke the safety roll in this game.
You're like Rain Man.
Get over it.
It took all my restraint not to mention it in my blurb for the game.
Definitely broke the safety roll.
I just wanted to be like, and they broke the safety roll. But I was like, no.
Definitely broke it.
Hold back.
Skyward Sword, which is really awesome because it's like in our favorite games. Listen, like, read our review, and it's like.
You should have taken away the exclamation mark for that one, Craig.
We should have put a question mark.
Read our review?
Don't read our review. Skyward Sword is awesome.
It's fun. It is way too talky and handholdy, but I still like the dungeons, and I like the combat, and I like the characters.
Yeah. I agree. It has its issues, but it's still really good.
God, I feel like Legend is Fisher-Price.
My first Legend of Zelda!
Pretty much.
This guy.
Mario Kart 7! I think possibly the best Mario Kart. Or at least my favorite, I think.
It's up there.
It is.
It's definitely up there.
I don't know, what to say? It's Mario Kart. It's really damn fun. There's hang gliders now. You could sort of
You can drive underwater.
Doesn't really change things a whole lot, but it's kind of neat, I guess.
Yeah, it's good for like just variants in the visuals, I guess.
Mighty Switch Force.
Blue Shell Saw.
What the blue? Yeah, the blue shell still blue sucks. Shell suck. There's no two ways around that. Mighty Switch Force is really, really good.
I love it.
Yeah.
Seth said it's a bit on the short side, but which I guess is probably true. It's not very long. Because I'm not the sort of person to go for like part times anyway. Like, I don't give a shit about that. So.
Nah, dude, the part times are fun.
No,
they are
fun. Yes, no, because you get the, like, after you beat it, you get like the super gun and you just like blast through everything.
No part times. Don't care.
This asshole. After you get the part times too, you get like a super sexy title screen.
So I've heard, but I'm not interested.
I gotta finish that. Right.
Craig's gonna finish it, or Chris is gonna finish it now. Super sexy title screen.
Nah, Seth, we've already established you're forever alone. So.
I'm in. Hey.
Monster Tail. Awesome game. I think Monster Tail's really up there for me. I think it's definitely like, you know, in the top tier of like my favorite games that I played this year.
It's pretty good.
It's all, I guess. It's just, you know.
The backtracking is really annoying.
I think that's probably the only thing that really holds it back. That game could have used like warp points or something like that, but other than that, I mean, it gives you the opportunity to, like, level up. Like, it's not completely wasted. Because I wonder if, like, the balancing would be broken if you weren't forced to backtrack. And you'd be like, I'm so underpowered. Why? Because you're warping all over the place and you're not fighting.
That might be, but I still think there could be a better way to handle it.
Probably. They probably could have scaled the leveling a little bit better.
Yeah.
There's a way around it, for sure.
But it's still very good.
Definitely. I love the music. What is that level called? Tube Works, I think it's called. The music in there is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Nano Assault. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who played this, but I really liked it. It's kind of a shame that 3DS doesn't have two sticks, because this is a twin-stick shooter. But for some reason, like, using the face buttons really doesn't bother me. I thought it worked really well. As opposed to, like, I also have, like, Geometry Wars, like, on the DS. And for some reason there, like, I can't really dig it with the face buttons in that game. So I don't know what the difference is, but...
Do you move with the face buttons or shoot with the face buttons?
You shoot with the face buttons.
Hmm.
So, but I feel like it works. Weird.
So you only get 8 directional shooting?
Yeah, but you only need 8 directions. It's not... Okay. You don't really need more than that.
I think I would have done it the other way around, where you move with the buttons and shoot with the analog.
You might be able to flip it. I've never tried. That's not been something that I was really interested in doing, so I didn't do it, but I don't know. Maybe it's in there. Okamiden, which I think was also on our list last year, like some of these games, but it happens when you import and things like that. I liked Okamiden. I think in my review, actually I'm pretty sure I said in my review, that like it's a lot like back in the day when like a game would come out on the NES and a game would come out on the Game Boy. And they'd be, like, almost, like, the same exact game, like DuckTales or something like that. It'd be, like, the same game, only slightly stripped down on the Game Boy for obvious reasons. And that's sort of what Okamiden's like. Like, narratively, it's a sequel to Okami. But structurally, mechanically, it's very, very similar. So
Link Jr.
Link Jr. But... Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I'm okay with that. Like, I still think that the game is really well made, and I still enjoyed it. But, you know, it doesn't have, like, that fresh feeling that, like, Okami did.
Is it? You probably didn't beat it still, but I just hope it's not, like, 80 hours.
No, 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 it's not as long.
Does it end, like, 4 times?
No, 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 no. It's not, like, no, like, it's probably about half the length.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I played up to half of Okami. So I bet I could beat Okamiden.
Yeah, you probably beat Okamiden. Outland. Either of you play Outland?
I have played this.
I like this game. I had a feeling I'd like it, but I was very surprised, like the sort of like Ikaruga kind of like color changing with like the bullets and stuff. That took me by surprise, because I was not expecting that at all in this game.
It works really well.
It does.
It's very cool.
But yeah, just definitely emphasis on exploration and action and platforming, and then just throw in this, you know, these color things, and it's a really cool game.
I will tell you why I did not buy this game, and it's because the co-op is online only.
Yeah, that's a lot of games.
If it was couch co-op, I would have bought it. In fact, like, I brought it up, like, to the purchase screen, and I was reading it, and I was like, oh, you can't play together on one TV, so I did not buy it.
Okay. Fair enough. They just want to sell more copies.
I think so.
That's what it is. Well, some games, you know, my understanding is it's sort of a technological thing, where like the frame rate will suffer and things like that. Like it's a lot. I guess with modern games, it's a bit harder to do split screen. I mean, like Halo still does it, which is bravo for Halo. But my understanding is it's a bit harder to pull off. Which scares some developers away.
This is just a 2D game.
Well, no, I'm not making excuses for this one. Right. No, this one, I'm sure it probably could have been done.
Okay.
But I'm just saying in general. But I think selling more copies is probably the main goal.
Maybe.
Pilotings Resort, a game I think people are way too hard on.
Definitely.
I mean, not necessarily everyone, but, you know, there was... I don't know. People were a little harsh on this game, and I don't know what they were expecting, but I thought it was really good and just a lot of fun to play. It looked nice. I especially liked the nighttime with the fireworks and stuff. It was a really pleasant game. I really don't have any like huge complaints about Pilot Wings.
I found it frustrating.
Really?
Yeah, because I'd, like, do a perfect airplane run, and then I'd, like, land and get minus 1 point off. And I was like, fucking fuck! So, yeah.
Maybe you should land better.
Maybe I should. Shut up, Chris. Also, there's, like, one marker token in the free flight that I can't find.
Oh, that's a pain in the ass.
That's driving me crazy. Yeah, there's just one somewhere.
Wow.
But it's pretty fun.
It is pretty fun. And it's like the first Pilot Wings game in, like, what, like 15 years or something?
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, since the N64 launch.
Yeah. So. Portal 2.
Love it.
Really good.
I didn't get far enough to love it. I mean, I've already talked about my grievances with it and why I just sort of dropped it. And, I mean, my opinion is only based on, like, the beginning. I don't think I've ever asserted an opinion on the game as a whole, but I feel like it took way too long to get going, personally.
Yeah, you would. But it's really good. Chris knows.
I will pick it back up at some point. It's just I was very frustrated with it when it came out.
And the co-op's really fun, too.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't play a lot of co-op, but I really like the co-op in this game. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that on the same machine?
Yeah, you could do split screen.
Cool.
I played online, but yeah, it's really good.
Cool. Professor Layton in The Last Spectre. I have not played this.
I only played the beginning, and then I realized I was burned out on Layton, so I did not get very far.
Yeah. I think it's really good, but, I mean, I think that Professor Layton games have come out so quickly. You know, they've kind of annualized the series, and I can understand getting burnt out on it. I mean, I still really liked it, although I really don't think I liked it as much as, you know, the last one, the first one, or anything. But level if you enjoy five. Layton, I mean, you know what you're getting into, and if you think you'll like it, definitely check it out. Level and five. It has London Life, if you're into that.
That's the only reason why I want to try it out, but I heard, like, it wasn't even that hot.
I wasn't a huge fan of it. I mean, I only played a little bit, but it seems like Animal Crossing-ish, and I'm not a huge fan of Animal Crossing, so I didn't put too much time into it. But it's not even unlockable. It's open right from the beginning, so at least there's that.
All right, spy it, Craig. Play your stupid London Life.
I still need to get the third game. I forget what it's called. I'm going to get the European version because the box arts are way better, and that's I have the first two are my European versions. But this one, I'm getting the American version because fuck yeah, America, we got more content.
And you like crappy Luke.
What?
Luke's voice actor sucks in the European version.
Oh, it's different.
Yes, I'm pretty sure we've been over this.
We have definitely been over this.
Okay.
We've been over this.
And then I forgot, and I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm pretty sure, like, all the Europeans say that, like, American Luke sucks, and I'm going to say that European Luke sucks, so.
Wow. Ethnocentric bastard.
I have not heard European Luke, but.
Pushmo!
I don't think American Luke is that
Yo,
good.
Yo, we got
Pushmo.
You know how many listener questions we have? Let's move it along.
Seven.
All right, let's Pushmo through this. Ha ha.
God, that was terrible. Pushmo is awesome, though.
It's fun.
Pushmo is way better than that joke.
I think Pushmo is really like the sort of quality that Nintendo really needs to push on the eShop. They need to have these Pushmo on the eShop because I think the point is like they obviously charge more than like most iOS games. I mean, now you're starting to see a little more premium iOS games where like it's not uncommon to see some of the $3 or $5. But this, you know, Nintendo's games seem to be priced at about $7 on the eShop. And that, so around $7 seems to be the price point for eShop games. And I think it's important that they need to prove that they're worth that premium. And I think so far, it's worked out quite well. I mean, not even just Nintendo. I think like V and Mutant Muds and Mighty Switch Force, I think these games have really proved that they are worth their premium price. And that's what I think Nintendo really needs to focus on because they're big on putting out quality retail games, but the download space is, I think, a little foreign to them. So far, I think they've really proven that they can make good quality $7-ish games.
And I love the QR codes for sharing levels.
I know.
You basically have an unlimited amount of levels.
Such an understated part of that game. So, really, really cool. Pushmo's awesome. And we get, Sakura Samurai? That comes out, like, this week.
So many good eShop games. Nintendo's nailing this.
They are. They have it. And I think people should be definitely paying attention to the eShop. and Nintendo's games on the eShop. It's good stuff.
Yep.
Radiant Historia. And I bought this because it was... It was a long shot, but I was hoping it was, like, the edition with, like, the CD, which it was not. And I probably should have known that. Well, because, like, a lot of those CD versions, like, I've gotten a couple of those after, like, well after they had come out.
You don't even know. What game was it? OG, Saga, Frontier, yes, yeah. Robot, blah, blah, long-ass name. I bought a copy off eBay because it's, like, with the CD, guaranteed, blah, blah, and all this. Yep. And... like, the Amazon listing did not mention it anymore at all. But when I ordered it from the dude on eBay, he pretty much just had... he just ordered it off Amazon and had it shipped directly to me. I was like,
how much did that run you?
It was like... it charged me like 10 bucks more than it was on Amazon, too.
So what'd you pay for that? Like, 40 or something?
Yeah.
Okay. But, like there are a few games, like Dark Spire I know I got. Because Atlas has done a few of these on the DS where they come in like a slightly oversized box. And then there's, like, a sleeve inside there with a soundtrack, which is cool. But I did not get it with Radiant Store. I was kind of disappointed. But, you know, I was pleasantly surprised by the game. The time-traveling gimmick is kind of confusing, I think. You know, because the different paths could lead you down dead ends. And then you have to kind of go back and do something else. It's kind of irritating. Although I think overall the gimmick is good. But the battle system is what's really awesome. It's really easy to understand, but it also makes for something that's engaging. So I really like the battle system.
This is definitely one I want to check out.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it.
I definitely recommend it. And, you know, we have a lot of people are saying, oh, the JRPG is stale, it's dead, and nah, you're just not looking in the right places. And Radiant Historia is definitely one of the right places. Rayman Origins. And I like what Seth wrote here. Seth, read what you wrote.
Impossibly beautiful, deftly fluid, incredibly fun, and undeservedly underbought.
Absolutely accurate. There's no better way to put it.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Rayman Origins is awesome. Ridge Racer 3D. You know, for a little while there, this was my favorite game on the 3DS. This really surprised me because I don't know. I don't think I've ever really given Ridge Racer a fair chance. Maybe it's just some sort of bias or, you know, Ridge Racer bigotry or something, but I've just never really, like, cared. I'm like, Ridge Racer.
It's because it's always there. Yeah. It's, like, always... yeah. Like, I'm the same way. I don't think I've ever played a Ridge Racer just because there's always Ridge Racer somewhere, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I don't even think I recognize it in launch lists anymore. My eyes just sort of, like, glance over. But I... really liked it. I thought it was really well done. I had a lot of fun with this. I mean, the only complaint I have is I didn't have, like, online play. I really think mm-hmm. Eraser needs that. But other than that, the game is awesome. Impressive use of 3D, great graphics, fun music, you know, just really good.
And you don't have to, like, pay to download the rest of the game?
Yeah, I don't know what Namco's doing. It's so weird. Saints Row the Third, which I really want to play, but I have not, so... Seth.
It's really damn... it's like Grand Theft Auto, but super goofy, and you can do whatever the hell you want. Just anything. Anything you could, like, imagine you could do. And it's fun as hell. Until you start running into glitches, and then your game doesn't work anymore. But no, it's fun. I seriously recommend this. If you're into, like, open-world games where you can do... like, the very, like, second base that you get in the game, like, the fastest way out of the base is to just... run and jump off the roof and then skydive down onto people. It's fun.
I'll keep this in mind. I'm hoping when I pick it up, because I will eventually pick it up, it's not glitched. Shadows of the Damned. This is a butt-ass ugly game, because I was just playing the other day. I'm like, fuck, I hate the Unreal Engine. It's such a terrible, ugly fucking game. And it sucks, because everything else about it is fucking fantastic.
But. It's all right. I like it. I mean, I don't think it's fucking fantastic.
I do.
You like it more than me, then.
Yeah, I must. Yeah, but you like Killer 7 more than me. You're just dumb. You don't like the right thing, so that's okay.
I think I just have a more sophisticated...
No, I really like this. I think it's a third-person shooter with, you know, a particular kind of attitude. And a particular kind of mechanics. Like, there's enough stuff that's sort of, like, unique, like, the sort of, like, the dark mechanics, like shoot goat heads or whatever. but I think things like that are enough to sort of elevate it beyond a very generic third-person shooter in terms of how it plays. But I also think in terms of its presentation and, you know, its sense of humor and things like that, that just shoots it well above everything else.
Yeah, I think the characters and dialogue and everything make the game.
Absolutely. Definitely something unique. I really enjoy that. Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure. I really enjoy both the console and the 3DS versions. They're a bit different, but just a really surprising game, just how really enjoyable it is.
And now we start the furry train.
Whoop, whoop. Solo Turbo Red the Hunter. Definitely one of my favorite games on the DS, like even altogether.
Chris, how do you feel about it?
It definitely is a game on the DS.
I heard you pick up trash.
You do pick up trash, yeah. You carry around a trash can and you throw trash in it, yeah. That does happen. You stack some crates. That happens, too.
Oh, and coming from the dude who hates Shenmue.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's all you are in Shenmue is a boring motherfucker who presses A when you're told to and wants to diddle around with some sailors. That's Shenmue.
You race a forklift, dude. Forklift races.
Did you see a black car on the day our hardware sales took a note?
Actually, dude, that game would be even. I like you calling work. I think I'm sick today. I can't make it into the forklift races. and just go out and look for sailors instead.
Because in Solo Turbo, the reason why I feel it's there, and I can understand Chris not digging it, because contextually it is kind of a boring thing to do. But I like that it's there because it sets up using gameplay, not, you know, like exposition or anything, but using gameplay, it sets up Red to be this sort of like really like mediocre like mercenary. Like, that's his job. Like, he stacks crates and goes racing. He's not a really awesome guy, but he thinks he's hot shit. But he's no one important. And then all of a sudden he gets wrapped up in this, you know, huge thing, and you know, normally we're sort of told these things, you know, it's all done through like exposition or dialogue, but here, using gameplay mechanics, using the same gameplay mechanics you use in battle, it paints this portrait of like a really just sort of dull guy who gets wrapped up in this stuff. And I think,
do you know what this sounds like to me?
What's up?
It sounds like the opening of Twilight Princess, and that opening sucks.
It kind of does. I don't think it works quite the same, but yeah, it does work a little bit like that. That's because there's so many. It's boring though in Twilight Princess.
I found it boring in Solo Turbo.
Okay.
So I mean, I can appreciate what you're saying, and I can appreciate the whole idea of doing that. But to me, I just didn't find it that fun.
Cool.
And I've heard it gets better as it goes on, and I do want to come back to it eventually. But I mean, at the time, something else came out, and you know, I got distracted from it. So. I'll come back to it one day, and hopefully I will enjoy it more.
And I think a lot of things, like, sort of, I don't feel like it's a bad thing, so I don't want to use the phrase make up for it, but there are things that are, like, also just sort of, like, the presentation, like, the music and the characterization and the graphics, just, you know, everything about it, I don't know, just really comes together for me. I just really want to see the next island, or I actually kind of enjoyed the dialogue in this game, because it was just really well written. So
yeah, there were definitely things I liked about it, and I do want to come back to it, but you know,
it's cool.
Yeah,
Sonic Generations. I actually liked both the console and the portable versions, but I think for once the console version has the edge over the handheld version. The console version is really well done. The modern obviously plays a bit like Sonic Colors, and the retro plays like retro, but I like it, and the music's really well done. It's really good.
I may eventually buy a PC version of this once I see like somebody has a patch to make Sonic's physics identical to the Genesis games.
You're not going to get over this shit. Star Fox 64 is greedy. No.
If I'm rolling down a hill, I expect to go faster than when I'm running down a hill. That's all I ask for.
Okay. I can't remember. I'm not picky about that, so I don't remember that specific, whether he goes slower when he's running or rolling, I don't know.
I played way too much Sonic as a kid to, like, where yeah, just so. When it's off. It's
I
just
wanted
like,
to play good games, so I didn't really play that much.
This, no. Well, you were... I hate you. Star Fox 63 for E3. All right, you're a bunch of guys who dress up in furry suits, and then you go fly airplanes.
You're flying to the convention.
And then you fly. And then Andross is like, you have tickets, and you just shoot him in the hand.
Don't body just yet. I love Star Fox 64, and this is just, it's great being able to play on the go. I don't know if there's a huge difference, but I don't know. I really like it. I think the visuals are gorgeous, and it's a really fun game.
It feels like they nailed, like, exactly everything that was going on in the original.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Q Games did a fantastic job on that.
Yep. Oh, actually, but I like the co-pilots, they seem, like, even shittier than, like, they used to, like, on 64. Like,
no, they were
what's
always completely useless.
What's, I think Sector Z is the level where you get ambushed and they're, like, shooting missiles at the Great Fox.
Yes.
Like, every 3 seconds, oh, there's something on me, Fox, I'm a dumbass, I can't. Know.
Your father hit me like that, too. Wait, you mean you've always been this inept? How did you get on this team?
How do you fly the R-Wing again, Fox?
Where are my pills?
Yeah, like, every 5 seconds, I'm like, I couldn't shoot the missiles down because these assholes are incompetent.
Yeah,
but
pretty bad.
I still love it.
Super Mario 3D Land is probably my favorite game of the year. I really enjoyed it. And it surprised me, too. I mean, not that it was good. I mean, I figured it would be, but just how much I really, really enjoyed it.
I still think it's just okay. Like, I know this is a minority opinion. I think it's good, but not, like,
nothing
great.
Really to write home about. Nothing.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey.
But it's more like the Mario 3 style, and that's not really my favorite type of Mario game either. Like, Mario 3, I'm not that huge on either.
Okay. Yeah, well,
I love it.
I love it.
Need to be more like Mario World.
Fair enough. Maybe the next one on the 3DS will be like that.
No, they just ignore Mario World now. They pretend like it didn't happen.
I would love a sequel to Mario World. Or, you know, a game that was more like Mario World.
Yeah, same.
Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP. Altogether, probably my favorite game on iOS. The visuals and the music are phenomenal. And, you know, it's an adventure game. Not necessarily my favorite genre, but it works really well on iOS. And the battle system is kind of neat, where you have to, you know, you tilt the whatever device. I play it on an iPad, but you tilt your device to the side and he unsheathes his sword and stuff. So I really like that.
Yep, I agree.
Cool. Terraria. I have not played this. I think Seth is the only person who did.
Yeah, I think so. It's like a game that has very little rules. You pretty much just do whatever you want. You could, like, dig down, find caves, mine stuff, build a house, build whatever. It's really fun until you run out of things to do. So, I like, you could get hours, like, I'm going to say lots and lots and lots of hours of fun out of it, but eventually, like, for me at least, these kinds of games, like, I just hit a wall. Where I went, well, I pretty much did everything I could do, so I'm done with it.
I've rocket booted enough around enough.
Yeah, it's really fun. There's, like, a lot to do, but once you do it all, like, I don't want to, like, start over and do it all again. Like, oh, I could build another house. But it's really fun for a good long while.
Cool. Tiny Wings. I really enjoy Tiny Wings. Another simple, like, one press kind of game. That's all you really need to do, but I think it conveyed a lot, like, really well. Just it's really hard to put into words. It's just soaring through the air. Just, I don't know. They really, well, not they. I think it was just one dude, but he really nailed that sort of feeling, especially with the wahoo that the bird says. I don't know. I like it. I can't put it into words. I can't really formulate it. I wrote a review. I don't think it was. Maybe it wasn't a very good review. I don't remember.
Just watching it, it sort of reminds me of, like, like, just taking Excitebike and only using the mechanics of, like, getting those perfect landings and launches.
Yeah, that's actually a good analog. That's a lot what it's like, yeah. And it's a blast. I love the art. think it's really well done. Music, too. Really joyful. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. I have not played this yet. I would like to. But...
Christopher!
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this game. I've never heard of this. I have no idea what's this. Why is this man... Why is it not charted? Why is he deceiving us? I don't understand.
You know, I couldn't even answer that. I don't know. After playing the game, I really don't know why it's called Drake's Deception, but... No, the game is really good. I mean, it's not a whole lot different from, like, Uncharted 2. And I think for that reason, I didn't enjoy it as much as Uncharted 2, just because it wasn't as, you know, as fresh or something.
Yeah.
But it's really good, you know. Naughty Dog really knows how to nail those characters and make really big, crazy set pieces and stuff. So if you enjoy Uncharted 2, you will enjoy Uncharted 3, I think is what it comes down to.
Cool. I'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
V, 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 V.
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 Zoom. Vroom.
I liked V. And I mean, I knew what to expect of it. I don't think it was as hard as I thought. Like, it was still challenging. Like, don't take that the wrong way. Like, there are certain points. Like, the one where you had to, like, lead that other dude through, like, an area. Fuck that part of the game.
Oh, I hated that part.
It's fucking hard as hell.
This game has escort missions?
Yep, there's one point where you do have to escort someone, yeah.
That's funny.
That is the one part in this game I do not like.
Nobody likes escorting anybody in any game.
I think it was kind of clever, but it was very difficult. Like, there was a lot of, I don't know, really had to nail the timing really well in that part. I died a lot there.
Yeah, I think that was the one screen where I died the most.
Yeah, I think so, too, for me, too. But, I mean, but that was probably the hardest segment. I don't think the game was as nearly as hard as I was led to believe. But it is challenging. That's not, you know, I don't want to portray the game wrong. But, I really liked it. It was really well done.
I did, too. And there's a lot of extra content in the 3DS version, too. I mean, a lot of people, you know, you might not go and do that. I mean, I'm not the type of person who normally goes and does, you know, challenge rooms or whatever.
Yeah, me neither.
But, I mean, I think that some of these player levels in the 3DS version are really good. You know, there are some that are good, there are some that are not so good, but they definitely add a lot of content for people who say, you know, it's only 2 hours long, it's not worth $8. I definitely think it is worth $8. I mean, there's, I think, maybe 15 or 20 player levels, and some of them are as long as the main game, so.
I mean, it's not even about the quantity to me, the quality is just worth it, you know. I feel.
Yeah. No, I feel it was worth it just for the main game alone. But, I mean, for people who say, oh, it's 2 hours, it's not worth it. I would rather play a game that's 2 hours long and, you know, is really well-paced and enjoyable the whole way through than a game that's 10 hours long and where it drags at points.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, Yakuza 4, which I think I'm the only person who played this game. And, listen, I love Yakuza. I can never explain my love for Yakuza. Because, you know, you try to... It's sort of like Seth trying to explain Shenmue, although he may...
There may be more people
who, like, agree with Seth because it's Shenmue.
Would you say that your love for Yakuza is equal to your hate for Shenmue?
I don't even hate Shenmue. It's just, like, I'm so comical that I have to, like, live up to that. I mean, how can you hate a game where, like, the most compelling decisions you make are about what drawers you're going to open? It's really just...
That is... Oh, God, you could raise a cat. You'd be like, do I want to
feed this
cat? You
don't even do anything with the cat. The cat is so boring.
It's like, do you want to feed the cat dried squid or some tuna?
I bought that game the day it came out, and I was, like, so excited. And I'm like, I am doing nothing in this game.
You're not exactly selling me on the game, Seth.
You get to ride a motorcycle and save a chick on a motorcycle.
QTE chases down the street.
Well, no, that was not QTE. Oh, well, there is a running race.
Yeah, you run down the street, yeah.
That's to get your money back because you, like, bought some tickets to China from a travel agent who, like... All right, this game does not sound good.
If QTEs are done well, they can work well. I mean, I really enjoyed Heavy Rain, and that's Heavy Rain is all QTEs, and I enjoyed that, so...
I think the QTEs in Shenmue are done really well, I think, because there's, like, multiple outcomes. Like, if you miss something, then something else will happen, and then you will miss something else there, and then it's not like you screw up once and it's over.
And I have no idea how people are, like, so into, like, he's such a boring character, Ryo. So boring. Nothing he does with any kind of excitement or emotion.
I think it's...
That day, my life was ruined forever. Did you see the black car?
I think it's funny because he's, like, so super serious and stoic. Stoic? And yeah. you just run around like an idiot with him and do whatever you want. Yeah. Like, today I'm going to spend my allowance at the arcade and you just, like, play space. You could literally spend all day playing Space Harrier.
You can do that. Or you could just not play Shenmue and you play Yakuza, which is like Shenmue with an actual game in it. And that's what I prefer to do. And it is awesome.
You will never find Lon D with that attitude.
No one's ever going to find Lon D. The fucking series is over, you fucking nerds. Deal with it.
Oh.
I'm going to be playing Yakuza, and you're just going to be sitting there crying about Shenmue 3. How you like that?
I already know how it ends. I saw that Mega 64 video, okay? Yu Suzuki explained everything. It ends with a space battle on the moon.
You know, I would actually play that game. That one, I will play Shenmue 7 or whatever the fuck that one is. I would be down for that. Anyway, that wraps up our list. That's it. That's all the games. That's like 55 games, I think we talked about. Something like that.
That's a number.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games. A lot of good games come out. Someone took issue with the fact that Xenoblade's not on there, but it's just... No, I didn't play it. And I don't think...
I played like an hour of it, and that's nothing, so...
It's not, yeah. So, someone's like, I got Last Story on there. Yeah, because I actually played that. Can't put game
on there. We will get Xenoblade on there next year, when it's out.
If it's as good as people say it is, yeah, it will be on there for 2012, for sure.
But, yep. So,
cool. And,
I have a game to give away.
What? Is it Disney Adventures for Kinect?
Yeah, no.
That's how he got in Disney World for so long. Go.
Ghost Trick. I bought Ghost Trick like a month ago, and then I was never on the podcast again, so.
How are we giving this away?
I don't know. How do we normally give games away?
Do we want to have someone post a comment and tell us what their favorite games were on the site?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, so check out the article page for episode 70 on TVNList.net. Leave a comment telling us what your favorite games were. Make sure to use your real email address that we can contact you with. No one can see it but us, and we won't use it for anything else but this contest. And you can win a copy of Ghost Trick. Are you willing to ship internationally?
Sure.
So there you go. If you live in Zimbabwe, you can win this game.
And it's for DS, so it is region-free. So
it's good news. Time for listener questions and feedback. If you guys want to get in on that, it's facebook.com/TVNLust. And we always like hearing from the audience. This week, we asked fans what their favorite games for 2011 were, as well as if they had any general questions. And starting off here, we have James. He said a lot of his gaming in 2011 was old games. Those don't count. Nah, that's okay. He played Castlevania Symphony of the Night and Mega Man X for the first time, and he thought both were excellent. But for 2011 games, he enjoys Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and Ghost Trick. Some good stuff there. Rusty says... some of his favorite games were Batman Arkham City, Dead or Alive Dimensions. it's not a fucking rodeo. Dissidia, Duodecim, Final Fantasy, Okamaden, Dodon Apache, Resurrection, and Skyrim. You guys must know, though, I missed out on a lot of many excellent games that came out last year, so hopefully can catch up later this year. You do that, and you got people to play 2012 games.
I think we all missed out on a lot of games.
Yeah. It's tough to say this because I buy and play so many games, so it's like I'm not a good person for advice on this. But you know, really, it's not a rat race, and you don't have to treat it like one if you're not really, you know, willing to run it. So just play what you want and play what you think is going to be enjoyable. Don't have to keep up with anyone else. Bobby says even though Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood never came out in 2011, I just thought I would bring it up and say I picked them both up for a total of £9 or $13 the other week. What is your initial thoughts when you pick up an amazing bargain like that? Oh, I can't wait to play this in 6 months.
Yeah, kind of pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically it, because when I buy like a bargain game, like sometimes it's a game I really want to play, but what it is it's a game that I really want to play, but not necessarily right now because I'm already preoccupied, but I want to take advantage of the bargain while it's in front of me. Because I know that I do want to play the game eventually. So, because, a lot of people ask me, do you play all those games? And it's like, well, yeah. Maybe not right away, but, that's only because I just took advantage of, some kind of deal. I'll play it eventually.
Right.
Scott says, Kirby's Return to Dreamland, great game. I bought a Wii just for that game this year. Wow. No kidding. It's good. And Kirby, not Skyward Sword. Do you see that?
I never got to Kirby because I was like around when my TV was broken and then just went to the wayside once I got it fixed.
Do you own it?
I did, yeah, I bought it. I forgot, I completely forgot that I bought it too.
What about you, Chris? Do you have Dreamland, Return to Dreamland?
I do not.
Yeah, I've seen me neither. Something I'd be interested in. But man, like Epic Yarn tanked in price after like 6 months.
Yeah, it did. I don't even think it took that long.
Yeah, maybe not even that. So if I get Return to Dreamland for like $12 and like a thing of Mentos in a couple weeks, that's probably what I'll do.
Yeah. I want to play it, but I probably end up playing it single player, and I heard it's better in multi, so
yeah.
Waiting.
I might be able to convince Dana to play it for, like, one session, but then she'll be mad because I get cranky. She said, yelp. Josh says, I played quite a few games this year, and the games that really stuck out with me this year were Solo Turbo, Ghost Trick, Skyward Sword, and Rayman Origins. Not a fan of Skyward Sword myself, but those seem like good picks. People seem to like those games.
I agree, except for Solo Turbo.
Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, if you can rag on
Skyward Sword... If it was Mickey Mouse, you would be all about, wow, Mickey Mouse in a spaceship? This is great.
I think all those games suck, so...
Looking forward to more this year, like Resident Evil Revelations and Xenoblade. Me too. Those are two games I'm definitely looking forward to myself. Idiomeme says, I love that Deathsmiles 2X came to Games on Demand on Xbox Live this year. I did not play that. Did you play that, Seth?
I don't even know if I was aware it came out.
Yeah, it came out on Games on Demand. Like, it only came out. You know how, like, Microsoft has some games, 360 games you can download? Like, actual, yes. Like, 360 retail games. Well, this is basically, like, a 360 retail game that you can download, but was never a retail game. So it's not an arcade game. It's on Games on Demand, which is really weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
But, because putting out a shooter, it's got to be expensive, because, like, how many, like, five people are going to buy that?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So, seeing current-gen import games made available in a download format, even without localization like Deathsmiles 2X, is a trend that I'd like to see continue in 2012. What are your opinions and any thoughts on which titles? Well, they would have to be simple for it to be really worthwhile, because if you just take any old Japanese game and just throw it up on a download service, like, someone like me, I'm going to be fine, but other people, maybe not so much. There might be some people that are, like, brave enough to try it, but you're not going to get a wide audience with that, I don't think.
I think any arcade-style game should be simple enough.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, yep. So, I don't really have any suggestions, but things, like shooters are a good example. I think he has a good example there. Maybe some, I don't know, are there any fighting games that don't...
Fighting games, I think, would work. I'm sure there's, like, anime fighters that...
Oh yeah, wasn't it like the Arcana Hearts series or something like that?
Yeah, two never came out over here.
Yeah, so something like that could work, for sure. Kim says, Witcher 2, Dark Souls, and Xenoblade Chronicles, top three games for 2011. It's a bit RPG heavy, but in my top 10, there were definitely Sonic Generations, Bastion, Uncharted, Catherine, and other great titles. So, good picks from Kim.
Imran.
He's got a lot of games here. Deus Ex, Human Revolution, Battlefield 3, Super Mario 3D. I'm not going to read all these, but he has a lot of games. Resident Evil Mercenaries 3D. That's probably one I forgot to put on the list. That's the one I would definitely add to our list. I really enjoy Mercenaries 3D as well. Shadows of the Damned, Pokemon Rumble Blast. He's got a few games here. And then he goes on to say, I know I missed out on a lot of Xbox Live titles, plan to buy them soon, but I am going to have to, I'm going to have open heart surgery next week. Wow, that sucks. So, good luck. Serious. Yeah, good luck. Don't expect to see me until probably the end of February. Toodles, Seth.
Oh, hopefully not toodles forever.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. And Brandon says that's a pretty good reason not to be buying games. Yeah. Brandon goes on to say, Mario Kart, Pokemon Rumble Blast, Star Fox 64 3D, Dead or Alive Dimensions, Mario 3D Land, and if it counts, Team Eco Collection. Well, it counts. I mean, if you bought it and it came out this year and you enjoyed it, I don't see why not. Silver Mongo says, so looking at my list of games, it seems I only own seven games from 2011, most of which are 3DS games. I guess Super Mario 3D Land or Ocarina of Time 3D takes cake.
Those are good picks.
Yeah, good picks. Man, I have no idea how I missed Dead or Alive Dimensions or Resident Evil.
I'm more surprised about Dead or Alive Dimensions on you, Craig.
I love that game. I don't know. It's just when you're dealing with a list this big. I was proud of the fact that I remembered as many games as I did, but no, I really loved Dead or Alive Dimensions, and I also really enjoyed Resident Evil Mercenaries 3D. So two games that were not on our list, but maybe I'll just retcon them in because I really did enjoy those.
Yep.
Brett asks Xbox 720 and
I says right, supposed to be an S.
Yeah, I think PS4. It's supposed to be PS4 rumors. Well, I mean, there's always rumors flying around. We got this one that like. The next Xbox is going to be, what, like six times more powerful than the 360 and maybe...
There's tons of rumors right now.
Yeah. Or, like, it won't use, like, used games or something like that. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'd kill somebody if that happened.
No kidding. And it's so short-sighted. Like, this industry really does not understand the value of used games at all.
Yeah.
I mean, when people trade in used games, I mean, I'm sure there are people that trade in used games to buy more used games, but people trade in used games to buy new games.
Yeah, do you know what I don't get? It's like GameStop's top moneymaker is their whole used games market, which publishers don't like, but then publishers give GameStop, like, all these, like, exclusive things for the new games as well.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't like what the company's doing, why do you keep giving them...
A boutique, you know, sort of, like, game store... probably would have a tough time existing without used game sales.
Yeah.
Because on new games, profit margins are so slim. It's only like a couple dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, I mean, I know people hate it, but that is why they push so much stupid shit on you when you go there, like, you know, their cards or their pre-order. They want you, they do that because profit margins are really slim on new games. So, but,
I thought it's because they just like to really annoy people.
Well, there's that too, because every store does that shit.
They're very good at it, yeah.
Used game. Plus, like, used games. Like, if I did not, I'll just talk about how much I love Yakuza. If I could not buy Yakuza 1 and 2 used at a reasonable price, I would not have bought 3 or 4 brand new, and I would not be buying Dead Souls brand new. It would not have happened. Uh-huh. You know, so that happens too. Mm-hmm. People buy used games, they go back and, like, oh, I need to want to check this game out. And then they become fans of the series, and then they start buying new. It's really short-sighted.
Yeah.
Scott says, my top 10 games of the year were Dark Souls, Skyrim, Dead Space 2, Super Mario 3D Land, Rayman Origins, Xenoblade Chronicles, L.A. Noire, Bastion, Saints Row the Third, and Deus Ex Human Revolution. Some good games in there.
Did Dead Space 2 come out this year?
I think so. I think it came out
back in January.
Last year, I mean.
Very early.
Yeah, it came out early in the year. I was okay with that. Like, I didn't have anything against Dead Space 2, but it didn't really strike a chord with me, so...
I started it. I never progressed past the beginning.
Yeah, I got to like chapter 3 or something.
It's basically the same game as the first one. It's really not a whole lot different mechanics.
It's cool, but
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than the first game, but there's really not much different. And then Scott goes on to ask, what are some of the games that you have missed out on playing this year that you would have loved to play? I wish I could have played The Witcher 2, but my PC is crap. So I'll have to wait for the 360 version, which is coming out in, I think, like April or something. It's coming up pretty soon. The game looks fantastic. Yeah, I'll be picking up The Witcher when it comes out for 360.
But I would want to play the first one first, even though I hear the first one has some issues.
You get that on, like, good old games. Like, you have a PC, so you can probably download that just fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay.
I definitely want to play Uncharted 3 and Saints Row the Third and Batman Arkham City. Those are three games, probably the biggest games that I really want to go back and try. But I want to say Xenoblade, because this is such a weird one, because Xenoblade came out last year in two other territories, but it's coming out this year in this territory. So I guess that counts, but at the same time, it sort of doesn't. Off the top of my head, it's all I can think of.
I definitely want to play Ghost Trick, and I do want to play Dead Space 2. I don't know, there's a bunch. There's a lot. I'm sure, like, I won't get around to all of them that I do want to play, too.
Yeah, same here.
Time is short.
I still need to pick up Catherine and Saints Row 3 and Kirby, we just mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a couple.
Bardia says, my favorite games of the year were Portal 2, Pokemon Black, and my favorite that I played this year, while it didn't come out this year, was Fallout 3. Well, it doesn't count, Bardia. Rethink your list. That's okay. I love the immersion and the open-endedness. I also have a question. What would you recommend to someone who wants to start collecting? I've accumulated around 250 games over my lifetime, but advice is always nice.
Make sure you have space for them.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Actually, you guys want to do, like, a collecting episode? Like, maybe, like, next episode, some tips and some stories that we might have?
Yeah, I could do a collection.
So, Barney, we're totally copping out on your question so we can have a topic for next episode.
You just did the work for us. Now we don't have to think of something.
Bardia,
you mean Craig doesn't
Bardia.
Have to think of something.
Right, Craig.
Jordan says, if Seth is there, when is he not here? I'd like to hear his thoughts on the picture I drew of him for Spanish class. Wait, what?
First of all, I'm not blonde. So, Jordan, I'm not blonde. I think you know that. Do you know what? I'm pretty sure you just drew this picture and then retconned my name in there. That was not even an original piece. I don't appreciate that at all. I don't own any, like, red shirts. What is that?
You just put a sombrero on some guy's head and said it was you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what I would do.
Actually, there was not a sombrero on it.
Oh, like a burrito? What is there? A donkey? Cactus? Was there something?
There was nothing. It was just some, like, blonde dude in a red shirt and extremely tight pants. Nice. That's what you think I look like? Fine. But it's very inaccurate.
It kind of is.
I don't think you wear pants, Seth.
I don't wear pants.
Awesome. Tyler says, when you were a high schooler, what did you want to do for a profession? Oh, fuck me. I don't know.
When I was little, I wanted to do shit. In high school, I was like, I don't want to do anything. Screw that.
Yeah, same
and
here.
And now he works at an insurance place. It looks like you accomplished your dreams.
Pretty much.
Shoot for the stars, man.
I just want a source of income. That's it. I don't care where it is.
That's where I'm at, too. You know, growing up, most of the time growing up, I didn't really have any aspirations in terms of a profession because...
I wanted to be a Ghostbuster.
I wanted to do that. There was, you know... And no, it's because I don't really define myself by my job. I know a lot of people do, and I don't blame them for it, because if you spend so much time out of your life doing something, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to, you know, sort of wear that on your sleeve and or be proud of it, but... for me, like you said, Seth, it's just a way to earn money. It allows me to buy the things and do the things that I do define myself by. And that's what my job is.
I'm kind of jealous of people who, like, are, like, doing exactly what they want to do. Like, it's both their hobby and they're getting paid for it.
Me too. The problem is, like, the stuff that I do, what I want to do is, like, highly competitive and not really, like, lucrative. Because, you know, I would really love to write. I feel like I write above average. I'm not going to overstate my abilities, but I definitely feel it's above average. But there are a lot of people who are well above average, you know, and I'm competing with them, and it's just not in the cards for me. But, I mean, that's what I wanted to do in high school. Like, I took a ton of writing courses, poetry, prose, journalism. I did all that. And I did that in college as well because I was super into that. But, you know, that really got me very far. It got me running a website with you, chucklehead. So that's where my abilities got me. What about you, Chris? You wanted to move to Wisconsin when you were a kid?
No. You know, when I was in high school, I wouldn't have guessed that I'd be designing paper plates and napkins in Wisconsin. Would not have been my guess, but... No, I didn't know what I wanted. When I was little, I think I wanted to, like, draw comic books, but...
There was a brief time where I wanted to do that, too. Like, there's actually a school. It's, like, Joe Kubert's School for Cartooning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to go there. But I can draw, like, okay, like, maybe better than the average person, but there's nothing remarkable about the way I draw, so I don't think Joe Kubert wants to have anything to do with me.
When I was little, mine was paleontology.
You watch Jurassic Park, and you're like, I want to
do it. No, it was before Jurassic Park. I mean, I was just into it for, like, a while, but then I was like, no, bones.
Okay.
But now I want to do something involving drawing stuff in some capacity. I don't know.
Yeah.
But right now I just like making money too, so I can do stupid stuff.
That's
why money is good.
Yeah.
I kind of like these general questions. Sometimes it's nice to have a non-gaming question in there. BK says, do you guys buy/download a lot of video game music? That's all one word. And are there any composed... It took me a second, so I'm like, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, video game music. And are there any... The funny thing is, like, if I fuck up on a word or, like, stumble over, like, pronunciation, like, this is... We're recording. People hear it. People hear me sound like a moron, so...
Mm-hmm.
You're like, yep.
You well, I think I struggled on stoic for a second there. So.
Stoic.
Yeah. Stoic.
And are there any composers whose work you follow? Like, say, famous composer Nobuo Uetsu. I, myself, am a big fan of Kingdom Hearts. Composer Yoko Shimomura. I've never heard this name before. She writes some of the most amazing battle themes. I don't actually listen to a lot of video game music myself. I have some of the more, like, poppy stuff, like, I like Persona 3's music, and I like World Ends With You and Jet Set Radio, and that's about all I have. I mean, I have a few more soundtracks than that, but those are the only ones that I will actually, like, listen to in my free time.
Yeah, I love the Jet Set Radio music from Hideki Naganuma.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. He also did Ollie King soundtrack for the arcade, and he did the Sonic Rush soundtrack.
Sonic Rush has some great tunes, especially like the bonus stage music. I really like.
He has really good music.
Mm-hmm. Chris
died.
I have some, but I mean, I don't really follow any specific composer.
Oh, I understand why it took so long. He's in the middle of a snowstorm right now.
Can you not hear me?
It's very staticky.
You sound like a robot.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh no, you guys went staticky.
Okay.
Can you hear me though?
Yeah.
Yes-ish.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I have some, but I don't follow any specific composers or anything. I just, you know, listen to the stuff that are from games that I like.
I mean, I like Shoji Meguro. Like, that's the only one I can really say with any... Because he does, like, Megami Tensei stuff, so...
I mean, I think a lot of the music's, like, really good in video games, but it's hard to translate to...
Right, because it's sort of, like, part and parcel with the rest of the experience. Like,
yeah, it's part of the experience.
Like, right. Koji Kondo, he's, like... He'd love his music in the games, but it's not much to listen to outside of it, I guess.
You know what stuff I like? I don't know if Kondo does this stuff. I'm not really sure. It's like the sort of like menu music that like Nintendo has like on like the Wii or like the 3DS. I was doing like data management stuff. Like I was shunting like DSiWare games to like the SD card.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like the little tune like back there in the data management menu. I don't know. It's not something I would jam to, but like, oh, this ain't so bad. This actually makes moving shit around a lot more pleasant.
Yeah, I like the little touches that Nintendo does in all their subsystems and menus and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it'll be in the next Smash Brothers game. I think Brawl has, like, the Wii Shop Channel music.
Yeah, it does.
I did not know that. That's awesome.
On the PictoChat level. They have, like, just a bunch of the menu music in the PictoChat level.
At the Toy Vault, we just hook up our iPhones or whatever we have to the sound system and, like, listen to music that way. And one of my coworkers, he brings in a lot of video game music. So there's a lot of, like, No More Heroes and stuff going on. But, he had this one song. It was, like, just, like, bubbles, like, popping. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, oh, this is the electroplankton stage from Brawl. Like, the sounds you hear in that stage are, like, you guys, like, bouncing off the leaves. Like, the rest is just these bubbles. Like, this is stupid. Move this along. Sean says, hey, fellas, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling in. I have to say that I love the podcast. Well, thank you. I'm not so hot on them myself, but I am glad that you dig them.
All right, I need to, like, get rid of the assholes, and I think it would be better.
If it was just 2 hours of silence, it might be okay. I'm such a square that I have even gone back and listened to your chats from months previous. Oh, you poor, poor thing.
As long as he doesn't go years previous.
Right, yeah, months previous he might be okay. You go back to, like, some of the first, I don't know. I'm curious to know that if you could recommend any other podcasts to get your stamp of approval, perhaps ones that you listen to yourselves. I also listen to the weekly Go Nintendo podcast, but would like to know of others that share your diverse views and pro-Nintendo thoughts. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
I like how, like, being not anti-Nintendo, that we're just, like, pro-Nintendo. Is that weird in this?
Actually, it is, because, you know, it seems like, yeah. I get that there's not specific examples I can cite, but I feel like there's a sort of, like, an overall climate of sort of, like, being super skeptical and cynical of anything Nintendo does, no matter what.
Just gotta love everybody.
Absolutely. You gotta give everything a fair chance. Absolutely. But
I don't listen to podcasts. I don't have time for podcasts.
I really don't. Like, that's the problem. Like, I invest a lot of time in creating my own content, and keeping up with other people's content is super difficult. When I do try to keep up, I do listen to the Negative World podcast. And I would say they have diverse views and pro-Nintendo thoughts. Although Guillaume is kind of a negative jackass.
And he has a French accent. So.
I like his accent. I think he sounds cool.
This is Guillaume. We are going to do the name. No, it's not like
I
that.
I hope he's listening to this, because that's fantastic. Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Guy. I love you.
Oh, come on. Is it just me? I felt bad when I told him I thought he was being too negative on Twitter the other day. I'm like, aw. Now he's all sad. But is it just me, or has he been, like, super cranky about everything lately?
Just don't call him short.
I've never seen him. Apparently he's not. It's all good.
He's 4'2".
He's not 4'2"?
Whatever.
I think he's, like, average height, but he's always claiming that he's short.
Whatever that converts to in like, Canadian measurements.
He's, like, 1 meter, 1.5 meters.
That's right.
1.5 meters, that's all. Oh, come on. Am I the only one who's picked up on this?
Has he been cranky? I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
We all have our moments.
I mean, I'm just so used to, like, reading stuff from you, Craig. It's like cranky just washes over me now.
Oh, not cranky. I'm uplifting. God damn it.
Spirited.
I'm spirited away.
Back to the topic.
I love Guillaume. And I like the Negative World podcast, but that's pretty much all I really have time for. When I have time for it, I have to, like, skip episodes. Like, yeah, Guillaume, I'm caught up.
Did you listen to the one I was on? It sucks.
I did not listen to the one you were. I knew you were. No, that's not true. I did. Nope, I take that back. Because I made a point to listen to it. I did listen
to it. You forgot to cross-promote it, like, at the time.
I know. I completely forgot to mention it on this
I know.
One.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I run a website all by myself, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Anyway,
Chris, you listen to any podcasts?
I like Radio Free Nintendo and Negative World, and that's about it. And this one. Well, and because I'm gone from this one so much, I listen to it.
That's true, I guess. Why do you guys not listen
to this one? But I do.
I don't listen to this one because, number one, I don't like the sound of my voice. And number two, I don't think I'm all that interesting. I have no idea how I managed to cultivate a fan base because I'm super boring.
They're all here for Seth.
People like Seth. People like Seth.
I think I'm relatable. I don't know.
You are relatable.
I guess everybody is just a dumbass like me, so they're like, oh.
I think I just
called everybody a dumbass now too.
And so. if you could reach everyone in the world, I don't think illegal immigration would be such a problem. This would make a Pixar movie about you, and we'd be all okay with this.
No, I am here. Born in this.
I know it was your, like, forefather's land, but we beat him up and took it back. It's anyway, James says, Jesus, if I knew there'd be this many comments, I would have made mine much shorter. And so this podcast, I don't even know where we're at, because
we are 5 hours in. We're going to have to edit this down to, like,
2 hours. Have no idea if anyone's going to... People do listen to this stuff through, though, and God bless them, but I wouldn't be one of them. I'd be like, fuck that Craig guy.
There we go. We hate our own podcast.
He made fun of Mega Man fans, and he likes Solo Turbo. What a jerk.
I know.
Shut up. Bardia suggests we make it a two-parter. Nah, because it's hard enough to, like, coordinate the one episode we do a week. It's not going to happen.
You can make it a two-parter yourself. Just listen to it in two parts.
Yeah. Now hit the pause button.
Go make a sandwich and come back later. Brad says, Skyward Sword, Batman, Arkham City, Saints Row the Third, and some Arthur Land are some of my faves this year.
Skyward Sword is pretty awesome.
I like the part where if you're stuck in the game, there's like 5,000 ways how to proceed.
Master, there's a 95% probability. You're fucking stupid, so I'm going to tell you what to do.
Thanks, and you can
press 2 to learn what to do, too.
Yeah, press 2, talk to that stone, talk to literally anybody. It's good stuff. Thanks a lot, Nintendo. Thanks for helping me out.
Buy our hardcover strategy guide.
It says press the 2 button. That's
Didn't, like, Square Enix did that with, like, not exactly that, obviously, but I think it was, like, Final Fantasy, like, 9, where it's like, go to this website if you want to know more about the shit you just paid for.
Wow.
The website doesn't work anymore, of course, but.
So the strategy guide doesn't work anymore either, then.
it's pretty much a broken book. That's what it is now. Anyway, Brad goes on to say, I've got a quick question / story. I went to my local GameStop and was looking at the used DS games. I was going to buy a few, but they told me that when someone trades in a DS game, they throw the cases away now.
That hurts my heart.
It does. I don't understand this shit. He says he didn't buy any. He's running stores near us do this. And my understanding is, see, the problem in my area is that it's yes and no. They do this, and it's bullshit because that is the best selling system of this generation or / last generation. Generations are really weird now, but it's a super really well-selling system, and they just discard the cases like they're garbage, and that's bullshit, because they just want to pack on more, like, 360 games.
Cases add value to, like, games.
Yeah.
GameStop don't care, because they'll just sell the card for whatever it's worth. They don't care.
These assholes.
It sucks, though.
It does. It's a popular system, and they just don't, because... I don't know. But, see, the thing is, in my area, because I live near a major naval base, apparently what pretty much everyone who's worked at GameStop tells me is, like, a lot of the Navy guys don't keep the cases. Because when you have space at a premium on a sub, so, like, they're not going to be taking the cases with them for, like, their PSP or their DS games. Mm-hmm. They take a little binder, and that's how they trade the games, too. So while they do throw away cases in my area, a lot of the trades disproportionately in my area are without cases because of that.
Nice.
So it's very
They should just get a PSP Go.
Yeah, because I'm sure the internet connection is awesome on submarines.
Might be.
And finally, Travis says, 3D.Game Heroes, Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, The World Ends With You, Jack and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy, and ATV Wild Ride were my favorite games of 2011.
Several of those did not come out in 2011.
That's okay. That's okay.
I think only ATV Wild Ride did.
He's not allowed to like these
games. That might
be
the only game that did. You're right. That's okay. It's always nice to go back and discover games you haven't played yet. And he says, keep up the great work. You know, people say this, and I don't know what work they're referring to, but...
Once we start doing great work, we will... let's be honest, we won't keep it up. We'll...
I know, it'll be an anomaly. It'll be like, wow, this is uncommonly good, and it'll just be back to mediocrity.
Yep.
It's all good. I'm just happy other people like it, because sometimes I feel like, wow, I'm talking too much about stuff that doesn't matter. What am I doing with my life?
But people listen.
People listen, and I thank you for it. I'm very appreciative of our listeners. So let's talk about some games we've been playing lately. I'll start off because I really haven't been playing much. I've been very busy. I did download today. I went on the eShop, and I love window shopping on the eShop. I love this setup. I love that there's a reasonably powerful search function, but I also love that every week the window shopping options change because I actually look at that. And they have an editor's pick thing up right now, and there's a game called Roller Angels. I'm like, who picked this fucking game? And I took a look at it, and I watched the video, and I looked at the screenshots, and I had some...
Who are the editors that are making these picks?
I have no idea.
Okay.
They don't say. There's nothing explaining it. Maybe it comes from Game Informer. Nintendo Power, so I don't know. But I had money on my eShop account. It's been sitting there for a little while, and it was burning a hole in my pocket, and I just... Fine, I'll try Roller Angels. It looks very girly, very, you know... girly colors and girly styled characters. But it turns out the game is actually good. This is basically a runner version. It's like BitTrip runner version of Jet Set Radio. You're on skates and you have to spray paint stuff, and there's a very, very, very simple trick system, about as simple as Jet Set Radio. So Jet Set Radio's trick system wasn't very complicated.
You jump.
Yeah, that's basically in this game you jump. And you keep your spray can full by constantly shaking it, so you have to, like, tap the button to keep it shook up. And you can jump over enemies, and you can you collect gold, and you can use that to unlock new graffiti, or you can take pictures with the camera and spray paint that.
Oh, God, I'm in.
And it's, like, $5. And it doesn't look like a game. I mean, it's a game that I think most people just really pass over. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to oversell and say it's incredibly amazing, but it's... I was very surprised by it. I was very pleasantly surprised.
Nah, I'm downloading the shit out of this game.
I've enjoyed it. So if you like runner games, like, it's not nowhere near as good as BitTrip Runner. Don't get me wrong. But if you like Jet Set Radio, you like BitTrip Runner, it's worth a look. At least check out the video on the eShop or something. Anyway, Chris, what have you been playing? I've played a few other games, but I don't really have anything to add. I mean, I played a lot of, like, Last Story and some Shadows of the Damned, some Rayman Origins. You know, wrap up some games.
Okay.
But that's about it. You don't want to hear about those.
I played Mutant Muds, which is really good.
Yes.
I actually beat it today. I think my only complaint is that it's not that long.
It's not.
You know?
I'm okay.
But that's not like... I'm not saying it's too short for the money. It's just I wish it were longer, that's all. But, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It really feels like a Super Nintendo game, or, you know, like an older game.
Right. It's not just how it looks or sounds. It's right down to the design philosophy. It is a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, like, retro-inspired games or whatever out there now, you know, like VVVVV or Super Meat Boy or whatever. Yeah. But this really feels like it could have been made.
Right.
You know, aside from the plane jumping, I guess, you know, which is like, I guess is even that's like Wario Land from Virtual Boy.
I mean, it even plays up that whole Virtual Boy connection, I think, so.
Yeah, it does, in the secret levels especially, yeah. But, no, it's really good. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that I'm done with it already because I enjoyed it so much. No, it's really good, and I really enjoyed it.
I think the game didn't get hard enough until the third world.
I don't know, I was dying quite a bit. Maybe because I'm bad, and that's certainly a possibility, but...
The first two worlds for me, I was just kind of like, whatever.
Fuck everything ice. Fuck that ice world.
Yeah, world's not even that bad.
There's, like, that one level where, like, I forget which one it is, but, like, you're going upward, and there's a bunch of, like, you're moving towards the left to get to the water sprite, and all the final platforms are tiny, tiny ice blocks, and it's just mm-hmm. these precise... fucking jumps, and there's spikes right below them, so I can't tell you, and I'm running out of time. I have like 12 seconds left. I'm trying to get across.
I hate that there's no like like sound or cue that you're running out of time.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a time limit at first. The first time I ran out of time, I just died. I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, like every time I have run out of time like three times. I'm like,
and timer's not even on the top screen either, so you're not even looking at it.
No, it's true.
So that's kind of annoying.
Like some sort of audio cue in for that, I think.
That's true. I can agree with that.
But the game gets really hard. Like 4-4, I'm on 4-4, which is the last normal level right now. That level's kicking my ass.
4-4 and 5-4, I think, in particular, are really, really tough.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention to what the levels were called. I was just entering doors that I felt like entering.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I didn't realize until I saw, I think Steph posted yesterday that she was stuck on 4-4, and I happened to be stuck on it at the same time. I looked at the screen. I was like, oh, I'm on 4-4, too.
And secret levels are really fucking hard, too. So.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And I love it. I love how hard it is. So if anybody's worried that it's, like, too easy of a game, it ramps up.
Yeah, it definitely does. But it's pretty tough right from the get-go. I mean, you fall on those spikes, you die right away. You know, I thought that was... It's not as hard as, you know, some of these other games that are out there, like Super Meat Boy or whatever. But it's... I think it's as hard as you would expect something from, you know, Super Nintendo era to be.
Yeah. I guess. I think I was expecting more, like, NES difficulty, though.
Yeah, no, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
But no, it's really good. I'm still playing VVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVV I'm still playing the player levels and stuff, so definitely getting my $8 worth. And yesterday I finally started Epic Mickey for the first time after buying it like, you know, a year or two, whenever the hell it came out.
You married at Disney World. You had Mickey at your wedding. He was your ring boy, as far as I know.
In my head, this is what happened.
And your cake was just Mickey's face. And you even
had a lost cake too. Did you see the lost cake?
You had a Mickey themed tuxedo on.
I saw.
No, I didn't. You're just making this up now.
And yet you had not played Epic Mickey.
Nope.
Wow.
Well, when we were down there, I bought the Art of Epic Mickey book, and I was looking through that.
For like $70.
No, it's like I think it's 40, and we had a discount because we have annual passes. So I paid like 35 or something. Well, the annual passes are given to you for free, you could call it, if you have a Disney wedding. So all you have to do is spend thousands of dollars.
Oh, I see. Oh,
and you get free annual passes, yeah.
How long?
A year.
For a year.
Well, you say annual passes. I guess.
I get one and she gets one.
I guess I was sort of thinking like you would get like a new
pass.
We
get two 1 year passes.
I see. And you live in Wisconsin. That's so practical. Yeah. I'm glad that worked.
Well, we've used them two or three times.
Oh, okay. No, that's not too bad then. That's a good
We've used them for probably 15 days each. So
can you stay there as long as you want, as long as you have that pass? Is there any, like, blackout or anything? Like, you need to get the fuck out of the park now.
No,
for a hotel, right?
Yeah, right. It's passes for the park.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there are no blackout dates or anything.
Oh, nice. That is pretty
cool. There are ones that have blackout dates, but the ones they gave us do not.
I imagine that's, like, the, like, ad-supported version of, like, the Kindle or something. Like, yeah, you can get the cheaper passes, but we reserve the right to tell you to fucking leave.
Yeah. But we used those in August when we went down to plan, and we used them, you know, for the whole time we were there now, and we're actually going back in May.
So, wait, they give them to you before you even have the wedding?
Yeah.
Suckers.
We went down there to plan, so we were able to get them then. So
that's pretty sweet.
But anyway, video games.
Yeah, Epic, whatever.
Yeah, I started playing Epic Mickey, and I really like it. You know, as you might expect, because I'm big fan of the parks and stuff. But I mean, there's definitely some issues. You know, the controls aren't great, and the camera's kind of shitty, but. It's, you know, I love, like, the style, and I love going in and seeing the creepy, weird, it's a small world, and...
Right? It's just,
you know,
fun.
Just, like, the style of it is just so fucking cool.
I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that's probably in part because I was just there, and I can kind of contrast it to the real thing, but... I've only played, like, an hour of it so far, but, I mean...
Disney World's Disney World, Small World, awful compared to Disneyland's.
Small World, it's a Small World in general, kind of sucks, but...
I mean, just the presentation, we have, like, a big...
Yeah, outdoor, I hear that the facade like, outside is really cool, and I want to see
guys
that.
Go inside, like, you, like, when you go into the little building, you guys have, like, a little miniature version of our huge clock.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that the outside is really cool if it's a Small World, and I've never seen it. Stop rubbing it in.
I gotta come over to... Do your tickets work for Disneyland, too?
No.
Like, honestly, I've only been to Disney World once, but I think, like, the Disneyland is a lot better than the Magic Kingdom portion of Disney World.
I've only been to Disneyland, and I don't really remember. I remember there was a churro.
Oh, God.
And I think I remember the haunted elevator deal.
Craig, your parents took you to Tijuana.
I paid, like, That wasn't Disneyland, Craig. That was just some office building. I actually don't really remember much. I remember, like, oh, man. What's the haunted house? Not the elevator. It was all decked out like Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's the haunted mansion.
That's what I thought. Waited, like, forever to get in there. I remember that being really, really cool, but I don't remember anything about what made it cool.
Which at Disneyland is, like, New Orleans themed, but in Disney World, it's, like, colonial themed.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's New Orleans.
They're all themed differently, though.
I think I remember, like, holograms or something. Are there holograms in there?
There are holograms, yeah.
It was really kind of...
It's, like,
really kinda...
most, like, 99% of the ghosts are holograms.
Yeah. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. What else do I remember?
I love the Haunted Mansion.
I waited 3 hours to go on Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
For a long time.
They have fast passes now. You just, like, get a fast pass and then
you get a fast pass, but, I mean, you have to, like, I don't know. Someone gave us, like, someone was, like, leaving the park and, like, oh, here's a bunch of our passes, so we got to go on a bunch of shit without having to do anything. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we went on Space Mountain, like, 8 times. That was sweet. But
unless you just wait long enough and everybody leaves. Like, in the last hour, you could go, like, on all the rides while everybody's gone.
Yeah, but the rides are fun. Like, some of the most fun rides I've ever been on. But, like, the waits are just out of this world.
Pro tip, if you go in January, the waits aren't that bad.
I'm probably never going again at all.
I'm just saying.
Well, I think Dana just kind of, like, looked at me. I think we're going to have to go at some point, so.
I'm going to Disneyland on February 29th because they're going to be open for 24 hours straight.
Oh, yeah, the one more day thing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun.
But, yeah, Epic Mickey's good.
Yeah, but what did I play? I played some Lord of the Rings games, and you guys know how much I love Lord of the Rings, right?
I
love Lord of the Rings?
No, I don't love Lord of the Rings. But anyways, I played some Lord of the Rings game. It was War of the North, I think it's called.
That's the new one, right?
I think that's the new one, yeah.
Okay, well, my friend bought it, and he made me play it. Like, I was like, no, I don't like games with elves. And I was, like, sitting there playing Zelda 2. So, but,
that's a good game.
Yeah, it's decent. It's, like, just hack and slash, and it's kind of really basic hack and slash. You're, like, literally, like you're... there's, like, a weak attack and a strong attack. Weak attack for my dude, like, it's just one animation, him swinging left and then right, and he just does that forever. But then you hit triangle, and I guess you, like, do special moves, I don't know. When, like, an enemy's weak and you, like, do a strong attack, you can, like, chop their heads off and stuff, so that's kind of cool. I let a giant eagle free. I was like, sweet, a badass giant eagle. I let him free, killed some dudes. And then he, like, started talking. Like, he looks like an eagle. He's like, oh, thanks for saving me. I was like, what the hell? This is exactly the problem I have with Lord of the Rings. Their fantasy
I'll tell you
does
something.
Not,
I'm sorry.
Like,
just hearing you describe it is, I'm starting to feel like how it felt when I watched the movies. Like, I'm already falling asleep.
Yeah. Like, their whole style just does not jive with me.
Hi, we're trees. Shut up, trees.
Yeah, oh, God. I'm like Zelda has, like, things like talking owls and stuff, but he looks like a friendly, talkative dude. He doesn't look exactly like a real owl, you know? This thing just looked like an eagle that was big. He looked like a Resident Evil boss. He looked like a giant animal. Then he started thanking me, and he was like, oh, I'm an eagle land. I'm the king of the eagle. I'm like, shut the fuck up. But, yeah, it's actually, it's pretty fun hack and slash, I guess.
It's probably best with co-op, right?
Yeah, I might have been plenty of co-op. Like, any game's, like, decent in co-op, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You could take any, like, mediocre game and it becomes fun when you play co-op.
Take, like, any of, like, these 90s arcade games that people cream their pants over.
Yeah, like, play Simpsons Arcade by yourself. That's not that fun.
Yeah, no, that's that's pretty boring.
Add some buddies, it becomes a blast.
Right, absolutely.
What else? I played through Jack Ryan Radio. That game is a lot, like... I remembered how annoying a lot of the mechanics are in it, but I had, like, mentally blocked it out. Like, let's just say trying to get off of a rail when you're grinding. And there's, like...
Some of the controls are really clumsy.
Yeah. Like when you jump on a rail, you grind. There's, like, no grind button. Right. So a lot of times you grind when you don't want to grind. You trying to, like, jump off a rail, and you just keep grinding on the rail.
And trying to, like, line up certain jumps and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it because I absolutely adore that game, but some of the elements of the controls are not so hot.
Has some control issues.
Yeah. I think Future is a lot better in that regard.
Yeah. And the game gets, like, I forgot how hard the game gets towards the end, too. Like, you get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
There's people with, like, electric whips, jetpacks, machine guns, and they're all just, like, gunning for tanks.
Everyone's just like, he's painting things, kill him. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, they, like, bring out military helicopters because you're spray painting stuff. And then you could, like, kill the helicopter.
Yeah, because that police chief has, like, a small dick. Like, he's totally, like, in it to, like, to compensate for something.
He does. I mean, but it starts off as a police, but then switches over to the Rokkaku group, and they're dicks, too.
Yeah. But they have go-go dancers on the roof of that building, so I'm okay with it.
Dude, that last boss fight is genius.
That last boss battle is, like, one of my favorite of all time.
And the music just makes it. For those who don't know, it's like a giant skyscraper with a giant record. It's like a giant turntable on top of a skyscraper. Yep. The record spinning, and then like the I guess part of the record needle has like two go-go dancers wearing rhino masks. By the way,
yep.
So yeah, it's really good. Aside, control issues aside, and then it wasn't until I beat the game, and then I was watching the ending credits where. Whoever you beat it with is just, like, grinding around the city. I was like, oh, right, you could rollerblade backwards in this game and do backwards tricks. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, you can go fakie. Yeah, it doesn't really do anything. Yeah.
It does. It, like, does different tricks when they jump. It looks cooler.
Yeah, tricks are so meaningless in that game, though.
What about if you, like, do the trick runs?
I guess if you do that.
Yeah, I don't think those, like, unlock anything, though.
Yeah.
And then I already talked about Mew Muds. That's all I've been playing.
So, this episode's over, finally?
This episode is over after 14 hours.
God, and probably just as relieved as the listeners are. Let me tell you something. Barty just hungry. Started bugging me on Twitter about when this episode's going to be up. So, you know what? I want to thank everyone but Barty for listening. And I hope everyone but Barty has a good night.
I want to thank only Barty. Thank you, Barty, for, like, being so interested in this podcast.
You're fucking
I'm not
fired.
Thanking anybody.
Chris would like to thank Mickey Mouse for being his best man at his wedding.
Gee, Chris, that was a quick wedding. Okay, this episode's fucking over. See ya.
Bye.